In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, God Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 70. I am Weird Wolf, and along with me this week is Amber.
Hi.
Plasticon.
How's it going, guys?
Sideburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
And Insane Galvatron.
What's up?
Sorry about the late start there. We're just kind of having some more technical difficulties. And again, hopefully my internet does not piss out on me again like it did last week and a couple weeks ago with the pre-Slagacon show. But if it does, we will get right back as soon as we can. And if we have to, we'll start a new thing. But I think it actually keeps going, but I don't understand how it works right now. This Google Plus crap sometimes kind of pisses me off. But
because they have to change it.
Yeah.
Like their underwear.
Yeah, well, it's been running terrible since they changed it, too.
Yeah.
I use it a lot for school, and we've had some problems.
Yeah, they're changing it, and YouTube keeps changing, and it's really, really crazy.
I've never understood that. The old saying goes, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But why do these websites keep fixing things that aren't broken? Facebook is notorious for that.
Yeah, well, they
because
keep...
Google is taking over.
Why are you changing it?
Because Google is taking over.
Well, because a stagnant product, even if it works fine... stagnates.
Well, if you're going to change something, and, you know, at least beta test it first before you release a change. You know?
Well, you can only catch as a programmer, you can only catch so much.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, my whole thing's like, look, if they're going to do this thing first, they have like live comments and stuff, but you have to have a Google Plus account. How many people don't have a Google Plus account, so therefore they can't comment? So
or don't want a Google Plus account. Yeah.
Exactly. You're forcing people into that, and Google just needs to stop messing with something. Just quit.
Yeah, just quit.
We know you're trying to revolutionize the world. We get it. Just stop.
We know you're Skynet.
Well,
right.
With that, they're trying to take away some of that, you know, faceless cyberbullying that goes on in YouTube. Make it to where you have to connect yourself to something.
That does make sense.
So therefore you think every troll on the face of the earth isn't just going to make a troll account just to do that? Come on, people.
I think a lot of
program.
Most likely, but...
When they
still...
used to build bridges to hide under, why wouldn't they hide under a fake, you know, Facebook account or something?
Agreed.
Hmm. But that being said, let's see here. I clicked on something other, and I wasn't trying to do that. Why is this doing this now? Stupid Google Plus! Wow.
Google effects.
Google Plus be the cripple in our podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, we are here tonight. Our topic of discussion tonight. Later on in the show, will be repaints, remolds, and reuses of molds as completely different characters. And we're going to talk about the history of those and, you know, what the general consensus is around our circles and what the importance of them are. I mean, a lot of people's like, it's like, oh, gosh, that entire wave is nothing but repaints. Well, sometimes there's a reason for that. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show and everything. Again, I want to tell everybody that we are running a YouTube subscriber giveaway. If you are listening to us on the downloadable version, we do have a live YouTube broadcast of our recordings every week. We tweet about it and post about it on Facebook when we're going to do it, at least a couple hours before. So if you want to watch the live show and interact with us in the comments section or tweet at us at TFYLP, feel free to do so. We're monitoring them as we broadcast. So, you know, if you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about on the show, we'd love to hear them. And we may even talk about them, your comments on the show. And before I go on about anything else, I do want to thank a couple other people. I know Rob Springer from Radio Free Cybertron gave us a shout out the other day, and I want to thank you love to have you listening to us, and that's really awesome, guys. Also, back to the 100 subscriber giveaway. We are giving a Keith's Fantasy Club Justice Ironpaw away to a lucky subscriber. Once we hit 100 subscribers, we are going to give away a Keith's Fantasy Club Justice Ironpaw, which is a third-party version of G1 Steeljaw. Whenever we get to our 100 subscriber, we're going to go back and pick one random subscriber out of the first 100. And if you have subscribed to us, joined our Facebook group, and linked to us either back on Twitter or on we prefer a message board forum and your signature, then you are eligible to win this figure. We are giving one of them away, and it's only available to people who are not a part of TFYLP's crew or have never been a guest.
Damn. So,
yeah. it's a really awesome toy. Approximate value, including shipping, is about $30, depending on where you are. So it's a really good toy.
Don't be upset. Being part of the podcast is worth more than $30.
Yeah.
True that.
But yeah, we really appreciate our listeners, and this is one great way of rewarding people who subscribe to our YouTube channel. And as we get more and more subscribers, we do want to do more and more and better giveaways. And, you know, I'm going to throw it out there right now. I mean, if you are a subscriber and you won this prize, keep being a subscriber, because who knows, if we do 1,000 subscriber, we go back through and pick a random name, your name might be drawn again and you might win another prize. So, you know, as long as you stay a subscriber to TFYLP, you have a chance to win a cool figure. The figure is provided to us by CapturedPrey.com, our sponsor. CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. And with that, we will segue into our first segment of TFYLP this week, which is Ouch My Wallet, brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. And since we haven't seen Amber in a few weeks due to scheduling issues, we'll let her go first, and she might have to leave early, so we'll let her go first. Plus, it's ladies first, so we're going to be nice tonight.
Yes, because we're chivalrous on this podcast.
Okay, I guess. I unfortunately might have to disappear. Tonight is family dinner night, and I completely forgot. But I guess in the meantime, I can say that I have one toy. I watched a friend of mine play with this sucker on Twitter and take lots and lots and lots of pictures, because that's what she does, and kind of made me want him, even though I really don't care for...
Is it the one I made up?
...toy too terribly much?
Is it the one I made up a few podcasts ago called Dildozer?
Do you have any idea how interesting of a toy that would be? No. No.
No, Titillator. It's a breast pump.
God.
It turns
into... Titillator would be the repaint.
No, Titillator turns into a breast pump.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God on all of you. Oh, see?
Don't include me.
See? This is...
Me and Clark are quiet.
gotta have a girl on the show to make fun of, don't you?
No, we do this every show, regardless of whether or not there's a girl on the show. Last week was episode 69. Last week was episode 69, and we did a lot of innuendo of that show, too. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, it's going to bleed off into this one.
Actually, Amber, last week, you might want to, if you get a chance, go back and listen to the show. We were talking about male and female robots. And yes, even though we did a lot of innuendos, I really wish that we could have had you and Natsume on the show, because it would have been really cool to heard her thoughts on the place of male and female robots in the Transformers universe. So when you get a chance, we'd love to hear about that.
I would definitely have to go back and listen to that one then. That sounds like something that I'd definitely be interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so show us the dildozer.
No. Okay, well, I don't have this toy. This is the first time I have owned this specific one. But I have Prowl.
Ooh, nice.
Which is cool because it goes right into the theme of this tonight's show, if I can get my words out. He's a cool toy. I've never owned the smokescreen mold myself. This is the first iteration of this one that I've owned, and it was like my friend was oh, you're not going to find it in stores. Good luck finding it, you know. Like, she wasn't being like a downer on it, but she was just like, you know, like, oh, you're probably not going to find it in stores.
They
I've never found
really
it out here.
Hard to find, yeah.
Yeah, and I did not actually find this one. One of my friends found it before me.
You'll find them all next week when they put them all out for Black Friday.
Mm.
And
they disappear
within the same day.
You know, yeah, if you go back and listen to this whole last like minute or so of this conversation, but you're thinking of a clitoris the whole time, it's really hilarious.
You are terrible.
Really hard to find. My friend found it for me.
Yes, we are terrible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. About that.
Onward, Christian soldiers!
Oh my God.
That's the reason why we need a savior. See, I'm a sinner. I never said I wasn't a sinner.
Yeah.
But anyway, back on topic.
I'm surrounded by guys. Please help me. Somebody help me. Somebody save me.
If Natsume was here, she would be the sandwich between this meat sandwich here, you know.
Oh my God. Here it goes.
No, I mean, you're the top bun and she'd be the... Wait a minute, that sounds bad.
No, you're making it really kinky powder on.
That does sound really bad.
Put away the shovel and just keep digging.
On that reference.
Someone didn't think before he started making that.
You're the top bun, she's the bottom bun, and we're a bunch of guys in the middle.
We're the meat in the middle.
Is it just me, or is BotCon going to be really fun if we can all manage to go?
Anytime we're all together, it's a really live crew. We're not very kosher. It's all in good fun.
Oh my God. Can I talk now?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Toys. Transformers.
Tell someone interrupts you again.
I have a cool toy. That's it. Now, he is really cool. I've never owned the smokescreen mold, and I'm kind of sort of thinking of getting the what is that one? Oh my goodness. Hang on, my niece.
That's cool.
Food. There's food. Okay. Come here. Come say hi.
Hello. Come here.
Oh.
Hello, Amber's niece.
Hi. Oh, hey.
Hi. There it is.
Now, this is Ellie. This is all about, really.
This is Ellie. That's my niece. Go on. Go say hi to Omi. Go on.
Bye, Ellie.
Special guest.
She's no longer eligible to win the toy because she was just a guest on the show.
Yes.
Way to ruin it.
Justice Iron Paw. She cannot win the Justice Iron Paw.
She is now 2 years old and unfortunately knows how to open doors, so the only way I can keep her out is if I blockade the inside of my door. I neglected to do that because I'm not going to be on here for very long.
That's what she said.
But
That don't make any sense.
Here she comes again. But yeah, the toy itself is pretty cool. I'm kind of tempted to get the what is that subscription subscriber? TFSS barricade. I've been kind of tempted to get that simply because of how pretty. Don't mess up boots. Simply because of how pretty Prowl is.
Which, by the way, is a redeco of which is what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, he is a redeco of Smokescreen. He's pretty much a straight repaint. The only thing that's different on him as opposed to Smokescreen is his helmet, which is cool. He's got a whole new head, which is nice. But unfortunately, the barricade one. Did you give her a kiss? Good job.
It uses the Prowl head, doesn't it?
Yeah, the barricade one uses the Prowl head. It's just so there's barricade is a straight repaint. There's no difference between Prowl and barricade of the two. But he's pretty cool. I've only gotten a chance to transform him once because he's one of those slightly complicated. Not necessarily slightly it's, complicated, but he's one of those.
The transformation is cram it in there.
Yeah, he's one of those.
You can.
He's one of those weird toys where I have to
cram it right in. There.
Unfortunately, that's the only way to describe it because it's literally just cram it until it pops in. And,
let the lady talk.
Unfortunately, that's just how you describe it.
So the look on her face is priceless right now.
Yeah. She's
mature children. Children! Oh,
hey, I was just making a legitimate point. I mean.
Okay.
I just knew that they would take it in the wrong direction.
I will never finish my what I got this week, I swear.
We're trying to keep you on as long as possible. I will never finish. It's been a while.
Yes, I know that. I know that, but I have to go eat dinner pretty soon because my brother's here. This is the only Transformer I got this week, if I remember correctly. Yes. It's the only Transformer I got this week. Looking at my collection on my wall. Yeah, okay. So the other things that I got this week, and I'll be kind of quick about this as well, is, McDonald's has started the new toy promotion, and right now it's Build-A-Bear. And I rather like the Build-A-Bears. They're really kind of cute. And so all of them this time are Christmas-themed. And I've got all of them, so... Yeah, I like Christmas themed and I love Build-A-Bears. I've actually got a ton of them up on my shelf here.
I wonder if there's anybody that's ever actually made a BDSM Build-A-Bear.
Probably not, though it's not that difficult. Considering that you can just go buy a teddy bear. Thank you. And then...
tie it up.
And then... No, go buy a teddy bear and then make a costume for it. I have a teddy bear that one of my friends got me that's got a custom-made dress. He had a seamstress make this really pretty dress that actually matches one of my dresses. So you can probably do that if you just, go buy the bear and then know how to sew, so you can make your own outfit. Yes, Jeron, you can make a BDSM bear if you really want to.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do it at the Build-A-Bear's workshop, though.
Why not?
You can custom make a costume, an outfit, but you can't. They don't
with,
have
complete
one there.
With a little mini ball gag and everything. Yeah.
Oh my god!
You fart. Yeah.
I want to build like a Frankenbear or something like that. I want like all different colored like patches and just. I don't know, look really weird and put like the bolts in his neck and stuff. That would be just cool.
They've
or,
never
like,
had
give
a
like a big gigantic steel jaw.
Or an Optimus Prime Build-A-Bear. Ooh, better yet,
they have those.
A chain claw.
They have those when the movies. You can pretty much expect it when the movies move. That's purple. When the new movie comes out, you can pretty much expect Optimus and Bumblebee costumes to be in the Build-A-Bear workshop.
Well, what would be really cool is have like a standard brown teddy bear, and make it with like a tannish backpack, and give it like a gray helmet, and then have like a pouch in the belly, and then just buy a body only pretender chain claw. and put the robot in there, and it'd be a pretender Build-A-Bear. Pretender chain call.
I don't think it worked that way. I actually went several years ago and bought a bear for a girlfriend, and the bear itself is already all stitched together. It just has a hole in its back to put the stuffing in. It's not like you can take a head off this bear and a leg off that bear. It doesn't work that way.
No, I mean, you wouldn't have to change anything. I mean, you just adding on exterior stuff.
You'd have to cut a hole in its stomach and sew a pouch into it.
How hard could that possibly be? I think I could do that if I had
a sewing, so for me it'd be impossible.
I'm pretty horrible at sewing, too. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I am, too. I mean, but I do know people that can't sew. What else did you get, Amber?
Can I continue?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you are sleeping. Very good. My niece is still in here. I bought my computer's all frozen up, I think.
That's you're good. Weird.
We're still going on our end.
Okay, that works. I recently bought. There it goes. Now it's. I recently bought one of these. It's an e-cigarette thingy. And I don't smoke. And this is literally just the
vapor.
It's literally just the vapor. You can buy zero nicotine
vapor.
Yeah.
Man,
uh-oh. Talking about paraphernalia. And there we went.
Shut down.
Damn.
Echelon.
She'll probably be back.
Yeah, hopefully she can join.
I would think she would.
I heard something. I heard something.
Robo Amber.
Are you
still there? Is being weird?
Yes.
Yes.
There you are. We see you again.
My niece is still in here. Will you stop it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Blame the niece. And she froze.
Well, she's sitting right next to my computer. Will you stop? And that's where the hardline cord is going into my computer. Go find Omi. Go on, shoo.
Go Power Rangers.
I'm going to have to barricade the door. No. No candy. Go away. Sorry. Out, please.
Kids.
Out, please.
We used to make jokes when my daughter was that small and she would raise her shirt up. We would tell her, now stop it. You're not going to be a stripper when you grow up. Put the shirt down.
Out.
God, you're horrible, dude.
Thank you.
I was saying that to my own daughter when she was that age. I'd be like, no, put your shirt down. You're not going to be a stripper.
Horrible father.
You basically put your shirt down.
Horrible father.
Then she's not a stripper.
That's bad. That's bad.
Okay.
I think I'm okay now.
Now you're back, yes.
So you have your e-cigarette nicotine-free.
Yes. It's got no nicotine in it. I've actually got pumpkin pie in here right now.
I bet that smells nice.
It smells nice. It tastes good. I just mainly do it for the vapor and the smell and the flavoring. And it's like, because I kind of have a bit of an oral fixation, so... That I like taking in the...
I knew that was coming.
I think she threw that in there for that reason.
Only for you, man. Only for you.
Giddy. All right.
You can't feed them like that.
My wife smokes e-cigarettes from time to time, and I love it when she does. She smokes the mocha. And it smells so wonderful. I love it whenever she smokes those things. She smokes mocha, and there was another one that I think it was toffee or something other. It smelled really good. And I think Amber's connection has died again.
Possibility.
Well, she was off topic anyway, so should we just go ahead and move on? Hopefully her thing will clear up. She can come back later.
Yeah, we'll go on down the road here in order of Plasticon. You got anything new? If she comes back, we'll let her finish. But
physically in my hands, no, but it does go into our repaint thing. I can actually link you guys what I have got coming to me through the mail.
I think she's back now.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, she's back.
I'm not even entirely sure what happened. I moved my computer just the tiniest little bit off in one direction.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden everything kind of panicked and froze. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm almost done, I promise.
Well, let's go ahead.
Well,
well, let's let her finish real quick.
Yeah, let's let her finish.
Where did they go? Okay, well, I don't know where they went. Oh, there they are. Nope, lost those. Okay, whatever. I bought playing cards, like Legend of Zelda playing cards. They're just like regular, you know, regular playing cards from I don't even remember now, but I got them a while ago, and then it came with the little paper craft. Little Octorok paper craft.
That's cool.
Tektite's levers!
It's a little QB craft. I am so disorganized right now, I'm very sorry. I'm disorganized, I actually forgot about the recording today, so I wasn't even fully ready when I got invited over. But anyway, I pre-ordered this book. It is called Alice and Tumblerland and Other Fairy Tales for a New Generation. It's you know, the ugly duckling still feels gross compared to everyone else, but then she got Instagram, and there's this one filter that makes her look awesome.
Okay.
It's literally stupid little things like that.
That sounds so, wow. So retarded, it's awesome.
It's actually kind of funny.
It is. I mean, Peter Pan knew it was time to grow up, get serious, and work towards something substantial. So after hours of contemplation, soul-searching, he started a blog of funny anecdotes from his life. The Lost Boys read it, and they thought that shit was hilarious. It's literally stupid things like that. Jack bought some beans at the market, and whoa, they were magical.
It's like my wife got a book from a friend last Christmas. It was My Father is Darth Vader or something other like that. And it's like stupid little quotes that Darth Vader says to his son. I mean, it's nothing like directly from the movie. It's just like, you know, Darth Vader. If Darth Vader had a son that's a little boy, like, you know, it's not Luke, but, you know, it's just funny little quotes.
Or if mm-hmm. Luke's mom hadn't hidden him from him.
Yeah.
I've seen that before, though. That's pretty funny. Sid divorced the prince pretty quickly. No, he wasn't secretly gay, just kind of a prick, and moved back in with her stepmother. As a symbolic gesture, she vowed not to wear glass slippers or any slippers ever again. From here on out, all Crocs all the time.
Oh, God.
So it's stupid, silly, weird little things like that. It's like a retelling of the, like little snippets, little retellings.
I hate Crocs. I think those are the craziest, ugliest things.
They're so ugly, and I don't know why everybody likes them.
Well, they're supposed to be supposedly they're really, really comfortable, but I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be caught dead in public in those things, you know.
I've seen them on children's feet mostly. Occasionally I'll see them on a parent's feet sometimes, but it's just like, why are you wearing those? They're ugly.
It's like, I might walk up to the mailbox and get the mail in them, but that would be about it.
Yeah, I know.
I had a professor, and he had to be at least in his 60s, who wore them every single day.
Wow.
It just looks like a pair of laundry baskets strapped to your feet. It's like, to me, I hate those things.
Well, from my understanding, they've expanded, and Crocs actually make shoes that look like normal shoes, but have that same bottom or whatever they're made out of that makes them so comfortable.
Hmm.
I don't know stores that sell Crocs to go check it out. That's what I've heard.
You can probably go find them at like a Payless or something.
Quick to the interweb.
Internet? What's that? I don't even have a computer. How can I go on the internet?
Anyway, I've got two more things, and then I need to go eat dinner. But
Let her finish, Greg.
I pre-ordered this back in January, or in July, rather.
Oh, that's the Assassin's Creed where you go around killing roaches.
The Assassin's Creed Black Flag, yes. Yes, and I just started it, unfortunately, because I had an issue. Funny little story. Actually, I was at work, and I got a text message from my bank, and they were just like, did you buy $70.14 from Computer Services Incorporated? I'm like, no. So I answered no to the text message, and then they set me up with with a phone call. And of course, like, I'm at work trying to do this at the same time, so they sent me up with a phone call, and there were just like four different charges rather that were declined, and then one $17.50 for the Alice and Tumblr Land book that was from the same computer incorporated whatever the hell. And so then it was like, so I went through the entire process and shut down my card, and then like directly afterward I was like, I know what this charge is for. And it was actually for the game. And because it was like Computer Services Incorporated. I'm like, no, I didn't buy anything from Computer Services.
But it had been
like,
so long since you pre-ordered it, you forgot.
I had forgotten that because it was a pre-order, I didn't pay for it yet. I pay for it when it comes out.
See, it's the same thing like with Amazon. I pre-ordered Star Trek Into Darkness 3D, months and months ago. I mean, like around the time the actual movie was in theater. And they had it. They just put it up for a pre-order on Amazon, and I totally forgot that I pre-ordered it. And then one morning, my wife's like, "It's like, did you buy anything that's about $30 from Amazon?" I'm like, "No." And she's like, "We just got charged $30 from Amazon." I'm like, "Oh crap, what's going on?" And I got to researching it, and I'm like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, so it was like, but I did this, and it was like, because it declined, it declined four times from my bank account, and that was because I didn't have enough money in there to pay for it. I completely forgot, and this was an Amazon purchase, and so was the book. Mm-hmm. So, like, I realized, like, I knew that the book, because I had recently pre-ordered it, so the book was like, okay, $17.57. So I was like, okay, yeah, so I know what that charge is. But that one was accepted because I had enough money in my account from Computer Services. And once I made the connection between that and this, I was like, I know what it's for. So I ran through my emails, and sure enough, like, there was an email from Amazon that was just like, we're having trouble processing your card. And at that point, my card was shut down. So for like 2 weeks, I was behind. Everybody else had the game, was playing it already. And like, finally, last week I've gotten it, but because of this costume I'm working on, I haven't been able to play it all that much.
I'm sure people's going to be like that with PlayStation 4 and everything. You know, it's like everybody's going
to... It's just coming out, and if you want to get the new... if you want to get it on the new generation, you would be getting it this week anyways.
Yeah.
No kidding, yeah.
My problem with Assassin's Creed Black Flag is I've not beaten Assassin's Creed 3 yet.
And you don't have that big a problem with roaches.
Well, yeah, and this was like...
I live in
this...
Florida. We have a lot of problems with roaches.
And they're really big roaches.
They get about that big.
I saw one the size scary. Of my hand when I was there on vacation once.
Ugh. You saw a palmetto bug is what you saw.
Yeah, palmetto
bug. Yeah, and a palmetto bug is a type of roach. I looked it up.
Yeah.
That's what the lady was like, oh, it's just a palmetto bug. It's not a roach. So I Google it real quick, and yeah, it's a kind of roach.
Yes.
Yeah, but here in Florida, if you have like large large roaches in here in Florida, if you see one, you have nothing to worry about. You see little ones, then you have to worry.
German cockroaches. I hate German cockroaches. Those things fly.
Racist. You hate Germans.
No, it's a type of cockroach that's common in Florida. But Amber, let's let her finish. Let her finish.
Okay. Yeah. One more thing. I'm just gonna close that down. One more thing. As I got. My niece keeps coming in here. I'm sorry. The Cards Against Humanity has recently done a new Christmas thing. If you haven't heard, they posted it. I'm not entirely sure how it got out, like how it got to people. I know it's on their website right now, but it's actually a completely different website. It is holidaybullshit.com. Is the website. Unfortunately, it's only limited to 10,000 people, and all of them are gone now. They were gone... I'm not entirely sure when the website went live, but they were... By the time I found out about it from Twitter, they were gone by the time I got home at 2, and I found out about it at 9 a.m. Essentially, it's you pay them $12... and they will send you 12 gifts over 12 days. starting in the first week of January, or December, rather. And
all cards against humanity related, or
I don't know. That's all. Literally, that's all it says is, you send us $12, we'll send you 12 gifts over 12 days. It doesn't say exactly what it's for or what we're gonna get or anything like that. But it's just that. So I'm waiting on that one, and we'll definitely keep you updated when they start coming in. And apparently they'll all be out at about that time.
That website's not coming up for me now. So
holiday bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have taken it down. I don't know. It was on their website. I don't know exactly where it came from or how it got to people, but Defuzz on Twitter had a link to it, and I was like, I need to figure out, what is this? This is weird. Because everybody else was talking about, like, I don't own the game, but I totally am going to get this just for the Q&A and the process. And I was like, okay, so I need to figure out what this is, and then realized that it was a Cards Against Humanity thing.
We totally had a party a couple nights ago. Well, it wasn't a huge party. We had like 6 people here, and we was all drinking, sitting around drinking a couple beers, and had the Cards Against Humanity plus the 3 expansion packs. Mm-hmm. And it was just insane. I love that game. Love that game.
A lot of people have also gotten them ready. I actually just recently bought it, so I'm not going to get it for a while. But Cards Against Humanity has come out with the big black box.
The bigger, blacker box, actually.
Bigger, blacker box, thank you. It holds 1,500 cards. It has 25 box-related cards in there. It has a bunch of blank black and white cards, and it has foam fillers with nutritional information on them. Mm. Like, you know,
and
if, you
if I'm not
them.
Mistaken, check the top of the box or somewhere.
The very top of the box, if you tear, like, inside the box, if you turn the box upside down, inside the box, underneath the paper in there, if you just gently, carefully pull it apart, it actually has the card, because in the first, was it in the first expansion, or was it in the original box that had the big black dick?
I think it's in the first expansion.
Okay, so in the first expansion, it had the big black dick. In the second expansion, it had the bigger blacker dick.
Yeah.
In the third expansion, it didn't have anything related to that, but in the top of that box, it definitely has a card that says the biggest blackest dick.
Yes.
And that is a fantastic card, and I need the box because
well, like, you like the card, don't you?
What was even more awesome in our game? What was also even more awesome in our game that we played the other night? You know, those cards that are blank, you can actually write in your answer. Insane Galvatron was actually the butt of one of those answers, so it was really awesome. And I actually won with that card.
Nice.
So one of the blank cards has my name on it.
We wrote your name in on it, yeah.
And I've only played the game with you guys once. It's not playing like I'm a regular participant.
It wasn't a very flattering answer either.
I'm sure it was.
Oh, no.
Because we all are horrible people.
Yeah, well, it is a party game for horrible people. I'll give you that. Yeah, I'm waiting for that one to come in. Pretty much done with my Christmas shopping for my brother, which is nice. Because he's also getting the biggest, blackest box and the third expansion, because he doesn't have those yet. And I bought him the holiday bullshit, too. So, yay! Christmas shopping is coming along nicely, considering that, you know, that's coming in. Definitely. I don't even want to think about that stupid holiday. I don't think I mentioned it on my last show. I'm actually just remembering this. But BotCon hasn't officially announced their dates, which is stupid. But as everybody kind of knows now, as is pretty much guessed, the Pasadena Convention Center does have it on next year's calendar itinerary. It is for the Transformers Collectors Club convention. They actually have it written down, and you can right now, if you are interested in doing so, you have to call the Sheraton, and you can actually get the room rate for that weekend right now.
And what is the dates for that?
The dates for that are, pardon me while I go ahead and find it, it was $166 a night for the dates. It's either in June or July, I forget. It is in June. Okay. It is the 20th through the 22nd. is what the Pasadena Convention Center has. If that is actually going to be the set dates, then great. I mean, I have already pre-ordered, or I have already reserved my room. A friend of mine is staying with me. And if the date does happen to change, or if the location changes for whatever reason, I can easily cancel because they didn't charge me anything for it yet. So if BotCon does decide to be stupid and, oh, it was out, so we're going to put it somewhere out so that you don't know where it's supposed to be, which is going to be the stupidest thing in the world, you know, I can change easily. But that's yeah. I don't know what's going on with FunPub. I really wish they'd just announce it already because, hey, the rest of the damn community knows, and it's and it hasn't changed, and it hasn't, like, left the Pasadena calendar for next year. It hasn't left the calendar. It's still there.
And we almost had Pete Sinclair on the show a couple weeks ago. And but the thing is, it just didn't work out. We wasn't able to get him on, but...
I probably would have laid into him.
Well, no.
But we it's actually less about him than about Brian Savage. But, yeah. You know, unfortunately, Pete kind of runs the PR, and that's kind of the main issue that I have. But I think that, I don't know. Soapbox, putting it away. Yeah, so I'm going to BotCon. I actually thought the date's wrong, too. My brother is actually getting married on the summer solstice, which is during BotCon. So unfortunately, I have to disappear during BotCon on Saturday. I have to. Luckily, it's up in Pasadena, so it's like a 2.5-hour drive for me. So I need to
just blow
then...
him off. It's a Transformers convention.
I know, that's my brother, and I love him. So so I'm going to BotCon. I'll be there Wednesday, and then I have to leave Saturday morning, and then I'll be back Saturday evening. I'm also only getting... I'm planning on only getting a general admission ticket this year. Because I don't want to deal with giving them too much money, but I still want to go to the show. And I also like kind of want to hang out with my friends and show off my new costume as soon as I get, you know, that one rolling after I'm done with this one.
You know, the sad thing is this is the first time in several years I've been able to get the week of BotCon off when it was in the summer. But the June 22nd is my anniversary. I just got married this year, so there's no possible way I'm going to go to the Transformers Convention on my anniversary.
You can make it an anniversary date.
Yeah.
She's not into nerd stuff at all, so for her that would not be fun at all.
Oh, Amber, you should have totally seen her. You should have totally seen her at Shardacon. I have never seen somebody's eyes gloss over so quickly.
Oh no.
She was literally sitting there at the table that Greg was running. She was literally sitting there watching all these collectors come by and buy stuff at the table, and she's like, all of these people are here for toys?
Yeah!
I thought it was awesome. I mean, it's just a perfect moment.
It's like, yes, and you married into this.
Yes.
Good luck. Oh, God. That's a problem. Yeah, it's like, and a lot of my friends are just like, you should totally show up at your brother's party in a costume. Yeah. I'm just like, I should not. I would love to do that. Unfortunately, the wedding is actually taking place in his fiance's backyard, so there's not really a lot of space. And she would probably murder me if I showed up in a costume. As much as I think it would be cool to show up as in cup, because I'm working on Last Stand of the Wreckers cup.
Ooh,
is my new costume.
Nice.
What's that?
Is that why you got the e-cigarette to be your Cygar?
Oh, no, the e-cigarette, this is mine. The e-cigarette is mine, but I am going to attempt to butcher a disposable e-cigarette and, like, put a metal plate in right in front of my mouth so that I can then take the Cygar and stick it to anywhere on the metal plate, like, right on his lips so that it will light up.
Nice.
So that the end of it lights up. It won't smoke, but I definitely want the end of it to light up when I stick it in his mouth.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm still working on that idea, but as cool as I think it would be to show up to a wedding in a costume, my brother's fiance would probably try to kill me. because she's like that. And unfortunately, or rather, I guess, unfortunately, but fortunately, now that I figured out that the date for my brother's wedding is later than I thought it was going to be, I'm going to TFCon. So, yay!
Awesome.
I'm now going back to Canada next year.
Yeah, so TFCon would have been an option since I can't go to BotCon, but that's the week I could not get off work.
What?
So it is work, but I don't have no seniority. I just missed it.
Oh, no.
That doesn't help any.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, unfortunately, it's like, because my brother's birthday would have been, like, on the weekend before, it would have been like, okay, great, TFCon, I can't go to that, because obviously, that's up in Canada. I can't, you know, get a flight to Canada, and then come back, and then go back to Canada just for my brother's wedding. I couldn't do that, so now I get to go to Canada, which is great. Unfortunately, that means I'm going to miss a day of BotCon, but because BotCon is so close, I can still do BotCon, so it works out for me in the end, which is great.
I think I'm really, if I can swing it, and if things work out the way I hope they are, I'm really going to try to make a concerted effort to go to TFCon next year. I wanted to this year, but a little thing called a tractor-trailer accident happened to me, so that did not happen.
Yeah. So. It is a super fun convention. I was super pleased that I went. It was awesome. It was a great time all around. I mean, Think of BotCon, but more chill. Mm-hmm. Literally, that's pretty much how it is. Like BotCon, but more chill. There's less people there because it is a smaller convention, but it's also, you know, it is. It's super, super chill. Like, I didn't do a lot of celebrity viewing, and I didn't do a lot of the panel stuff either. I think I just the same as BotCon, I think I saw, like, two panels at TFCon.
I think I would mostly mainly go for the third-party stuff, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, well, like mostly because I just wasn't interested in the TFCon panels so much, but it was like, that was also acceptable, because that was like a $40 ticket as opposed to a $375 ticket with BotCon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I didn't go to all the panels or if I didn't go to any panels, that was pretty much cool, because there's tons of stuff to do. Like, the water slide is cool.
Water slide?
The water slide, yes! This hotel has a 3-story water slide. Kid you not. It's the coolest thing in the world!
Oh, like, wow.
I've never heard of a hotel having a diving board, let alone a 3-story water slide.
Well, you are in a different country there. In America, that would never fly because I'd be worried about lawsuits, somebody getting hurt jumping off.
I know.
In Canada, they're like, don't worry about it, eh?
Yeah, it was so much fun. We went on that water slide like every single night. That was a lot of fun. It was like, I managed to drag Aaron Axsmith on Twitter. I managed to drag him on that because he was just like, oh, I don't do water slides. And I'm just like, no. Just like, I brought a bathing suit just for this. You're going to go in this damn water slide. It was like, the coolest thing.
Sounds awesome. Well, hold on. cracking open another Coke here. Let's move on to Plasticon. You had some stuff that you wanted?
I'm gonna go.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to.
Thanks, Amber. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
See you later. Before you move on, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go. That's and taking up all that time.
Sausage fest.
Joy, I'll make sure to be here next time too.
Thanks, Amber. Take care.
Alrighty. I guess we'll move on to the things I've got on order, I should say. I'm going to shoot you guys an actual picture here. I'm going to screen share it. And it's a very, very, very obscure thing I came across. But this is one of the two that I ordered.
Ooh.
Obviously, you can tell it is not authentic. It's not genuine. This is a KO. This is actually by Sir Toys. I know you guys had spoke to me about this before, but I browsed around their site, and I found this one. It's almost just like Skittles, except for it's got, obviously, a little different colored arm.
Yeah, and except... looks like Blastoff has some red where it should be purple.
Right, but also if you look at the connection points, those connection points are a different color as well. So there is some color variance going on in this. The head sculpt is also kind of a black. It doesn't have as much detail, it looks like. And let me switch over here real quick to a different one that I have on order from the same place. I've ordered...
Did you get that thing that looks like a Dinobot combiner?
I got that in, yes. I actually have that one. But this is the other one I ordered. Obviously, you can tell two of the legs are completely different molds. They're completely different robots.
One almost looks like the Excelion mold or Cybertron Hotshot.
That's what they are.
Ah.
They're blown-up versions of some Legends vehicles. And if you notice, I don't know if this is mistransformed, but this looks a lot different as well in the tank. A lot of different molding colors here.
What are the other two blown-up Legends of? Which figures?
This one here looks like Leadfoot from Movieverse.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. This one here looks like one of the Legends figures from Movieverse, but I do not know which one this one is.
Is that Breakdown?
Looks a lot like a Doom Buggy. Here's another picture of it in vehicle mode.
That's the other Wrecker.
Breacher?
Top Spin.
Right. Yeah. That is a Legends Top Spin. But these are actually... just as big
maybe Roadbuster. Was that the one that's the Dale Jr. Mountain Dew car?
Yeah.
Might be it's one of those two. But my point is, those things are they're just as big as this. And they're possibly going to combine with this. So it's going to be normal size, which is pretty awesome, because those are two really, really, really weird, obscure things. I've never seen those before, so I thought it'd be kind of cool maybe to get a hold of them. They were not that expensive at all. They're very cheap compared to what you'd pay for a Hasbro product, but I don't know what the plastic quality is going to be like.
I'd say the plastic quality is going to be crap.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily say that, because I've had hold of a lot of knockoffs. You guys... For our listeners, if you go back in the archives, we talked about it. He is on the shelf. I'd have to go get him real quick. But my point is, that is a complete different repaint and some slight remolding that was done from a knockoff from a set that's been out for a while now. So I just thought it was kind of cool. They approximately are about $25 a piece for...
the whole combiner.
For the whole combiner, which is kind of nice. So, I don't know exactly what the plastic quality is going to be like, because, I mean, I was looking at the plastic quality, and they look okay. So, it doesn't look like it's going to be like a real, real cheap kind of plastic. But then again, people complained about the Hasbro one being really hollow, so maybe they're able to cheat the quality of the plastic to be a little better, because the mold itself doesn't really require so much. And they're all ABS plastic, so it will work. I will quickly grab the Dinobot combiner. But
yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that. Did you show it on the show after you got it? I know we talked about it when you ordered it.
I think I did a while back, but I don't remember for sure.
I don't recall you doing that one.
Okay. But let me touch base on this. Actually, since we were talking about repaints, I did get the two-pack, the Bruticus and the Grimlock. And... I love it. I think it's awesome. I like the Grimlock better, actually, because all the chrome. But
I kind of wanted that. Toys R Us had a one-day sale where it was $65, but I did not realize it was a one-day sale. I know I heard somebody say they'd match the price in-store, and so I was going to swing by Toys R Us, see if they had it, and try to get it. But then by the time I did, it was the next day, and the sale was over.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool robot. I mean, it's identical. I mean, I looked at the way this is designed, and it's almost just like the BotCon one that came out. But you think about it, there's only, technically, there's six of this mold, including the remold for RID. So I've got four of the six. To me, I don't need to get the universe one, because it's all like, you know, chromey and kind of crazy because it's the Takara colors. And then the BotCon one, obviously, it had a lot of issues with Swindle. So I don't really want to touch those because, I mean, these are retail ones and they're just fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like them. I like the molds, but unless I can get a hold of those two, like, cheaply, I'm probably not going to get those. But let me grab that Dinobot combiner while you guys move on to somebody else because I got to take my headphones off.
Okay.
I just realized I was muted that whole time. Yeah. Someone was vacuuming in the background. That's St. Bernard.
We
like
just assumed
like
that St.
Bernard in a China shop.
We just assumed you were booting.
Shelf and broke it. the St. Bernard apparently broke something in the other room.
Oh, wonderful.
The crash you heard earlier.
So, did you get anything for Ouch My Wallet this week? Or?
Yeah, you might see them on my face. These are $115. I got some glasses.
Thought you looked
and then
a little different.
A little less Ouch My Wallet. I got some more crayons. I went back to my Target. They had put out a new box of the Wave 3 crayons. And there was only four of them there, and none of the numbers matched the ones I had already gotten. So I got Thrust.
Thrust.
I got a Ramjet.
Ramjet.
I got Nemesis Prime.
I have that one.
African American.
Yeah, well, Prime. A little deja vu. I got Beachcomber.
Yeah, that's the two that I got, yeah.
So, I expanded my crayon shelf a little bit. But that's all I got Transformers wise.
Awesome. So, Plasticon, you have it handy?
Yeah, I've got it handy right here. Here he is. He's not actually as big as I was probably going to think he was. The same toy maker, it seems like, because did from the quality I've gathered on this, this is just like the KO Predaking I have, and also the KO Piranicon Seacons that I have. It's the same company because the way the peg system works and just the plastic quality alone, it's excellent. It's actually a really, really, really cool Dinobot combiner. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of paint apps, which, you know, you can easily fix if you are handy with Gundam markers or...
I wanted to paint them up like the G1 Dinobots.
I debated on that. I've actually debated on that, but I kind of just want to slap G2 stickers on it because it has such a great G2 vibe to it already because it's got this crazy, like... I mean, the Grimlock is like this eye-searing orange with a little bit of purple, and then it's got this crazy green tail. It looks just so wacky.
It almost looks
awesome.
Like it's Monstructor top.
Yeah, I mean, it really does almost have like a Monstructor feel. It does have a combining sword it looks like it's completely different kind of molding compared to the Junkion Blacksmith.
It looks a lot like...
But it also comes with this gun assembly, and this gun assembly is a lot different. This gun splits into four different guns. Literally looks like, you know, like a four-barrel gun, but you can take it completely apart and put it anywhere on the Dinobots if they're in robot mode or they're dinosaur mode, and it's a very, very, very convincing toy brick-wise. If you guys are really into brick formers, I highly suggest you try to search out this little Dinobot guy. I'm going to be doing a review of him pretty soon, but I had to knock out some other reviews before that. So keep a lookout on my YouTube. You guys can check that out.
I'm going to try if they're still available. I know I was going to go in together with a couple people if we could get them wholesale. But turns out we can't get them wholesale, so I was going to try and get some more of the or get a couple of the Fans Project Glacial Bots that are up for pre-order. Hopefully they're still available, and I want to go ahead and pre-order the first two that's available.
I saw a message like a week and a half ago that they were going to have the other three up as well within 2 weeks, so it should be any day now. All five will be available at once.
Yeah.
I've already pre-ordered the first two. I'm planning on getting the other ones because I've had my eyes on that because it's straight up some Generation 1 stuff. It's complete Scramble City, but it's got like this headmaster slash brainmaster kind of like insert little teeny tiny robot, and it's just freaking awesome. I love the engineering behind that entire third party toy.
It's almost like they took Predaking, Abominus, and Lyokaiser, and then or not Lyokaiser, but Road Caesar, and then just took all those ideas and just smashed them into one.
How it's not a direct copy of anything from Generation 1, but it's designed to look and feel like it could have came out in like 1991.
Yeah.
If Transformers kept going.
That is exactly why I want it. It looks, I mean, it's just amazing.
It's a unique new toy with new engineering, but it fits the G1 aesthetic, and that's why I want it.
And for those of you who are wondering what we're talking about, you can check out Fans Project Core, their website, which I believe is fpcore.com. And these things are running, about $35 a piece.
$30
a piece. And shipping is about $12 per two or three items. So it's not really, not a bad price at all. And they're very G1-esque in feel. They have a retro false aged box, so they look like a vintage toy but it's actually new, and it's a combiner, and it's really awesome. Basically, they're Ice Age type animals that combine to a giant robot called Glacial Lord, and each one of the animals has like a trainer that turns into I guess some kind of head or something other for.
Basically, when you put them in the robot mode, you have to take the little bitty guy and you fold him in half pretty much just like you would like a headmaster, and you plug it in and it fills in the chest, and the head of the little teeny tiny robot becomes the head of the beast robot. And what's crazy about it is the way the engineering is designed, you don't actually use that head peg to plug into the robot. You flip this it has the ability for you to be able to rotate the entire unit around with the little head guy in there, so you don't have to take him out, and flip it around to be able to plug it into the robot, so you don't have to worry about pegs breaking off or anything. It's like an ingenious idea, and I'm like, somebody do that with like either all the G1 combiners, or somebody just invent something more like that. I want more of this, because this is like the perfect mammoth kind of crazy thing to go up against Predaking to me. It's perfect for that, and that's why I love it.
I'm kind of, has anyone seen the size comparisons? I can't remember how big they are.
Yes, you can take literally one of those little bitty guys and plug it into your Defensor.
Oh, so they're G1
identical size.
Okay, the main bot, which is like a mammoth, he is probably I guess small Voyager size, I would imagine.
I would say he's pretty close to like maybe like the size of like Hotspot or somebody like that. I'd say he's bigger than Motormaster, I would say, because the way the way they're designed, they're literally designed. If you want to take those bots off and put them and combine them with your other Scramble City, you can do it. It's designed to do that, which is the biggest thing in the world. I mean, I love it because it's like a third-party toy that combines with your combiners, but it forms its own, like, thing. It's just, it's awesome. And another thing dealing with the weathering, I don't know if you knew, you were aware of this, but literally when you take, like, the robot out of the package and everything, some of the stickers on the sticker sheet are purposely missing because they're already applied to the robot. Like, say the robot was missing stickers when you bought it. Kind of, it gives you that feeling that you found, like, an old robot when you go and buy, like, all your Generation 1 and Generation 2 again. It's, like, missing stickers or something. It kind of gives you that same feel, which is great because it's straight up going toward the vintage collector.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing for me because it's, like, it's finally third parties give the respect to the vintage collector that's been doing this stuff for years. Do more of that. I want to see more of that. Like, give us another one like this. Give us, like, some Power Masters or something. I don't know. Go crazy with it. I love it.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Well, I didn't get anything for the Ouch My Wallet this week. Did you get anything, Insane Galvatron?
Actually, I have two items. I think I may have mentioned them last time I was on. They came before last week's podcast, but I wasn't able to be on. I made a trade. I traded my Takara Masterpiece Optimus. I'm going to give a shout-out to Bradford J. on the TFW boards. He's one guy, awesome guy, did a great trade. He packed everything well. It's a little slow to get out the door, I think, because, you know, we made the trip today earlier in the week, and I told him I couldn't ship like Monday or Tuesday. I shipped on Tuesday. The tracking didn't show his stuff leaving until Wednesday or Thursday. But I ended up getting it eventually, a couple days after he received the Masterpiece Prime. But it did come. He packed it well. The first thing I got was a Mitten Box Target Master Cyclonus.
That is nice. That is a really sharp box.
I've already taken the toy out of the box, and he's in my DTOF. That's why I'm not showing it, because I wasn't going to dig it back out. But the toy is dead mint. I mean, you can just look at this box. It wasn't sealed, but this is one of the mintiest boxes I've ever seen from 1987. I was just blown away how nice it was.
If I had a place in my DTOF for that, if I were you, I would put it back in the box since you've already got a Cyclonus on display, and I would display it like that.
Well, this is the only Target Master Cyclonus I have, though.
It'll still be on display.
Yeah. I mean, everything, the whole box, it's got the trays, even got the paperwork. If I can get it out of here. You know, he's got all the paperwork and everything.
Stickers been applied?
Yeah, the stickers have been applied. I don't have the empty sticker sheet. I just have the instructions and whatever this little brochure thing is, Ultimate Battle. It looks like it would have been a Season 3 toy guide before the movie came out. You know, not spoiling the fact that Ultra... Because it still calls Ultra Magnus the leader. There's no mention of Rodimus Prime. Because that was supposed to be the big surprise of the movie. Before the movie, they were building up that Ultra Magnus as the new leader. It even comes with that. So that's neat. That's the first time I've actually seen that toy brochure. It's a new one to me. But anyway, I traded for this and one other item. This was a toy I'd actually owned years ago and sold it and then regretted it and just never wanted to buy it back because of what it normally goes for. I'd seen a couple, but they were usually in really bad condition. Now, the flap is cut off the top for whatever reason of the box. I don't know why. But it's the Nucleon Quest Super Convoy.
Nice.
And this is the first one I found at a decent price. Well, you know, because I didn't buy it, I traded for it. But it's stickers unapplied, and that's the hard thing I had trouble finding was an example that didn't have the stickers on it. Because I don't like the stickers on this toy because they're the same color as the regular Power Master Primes, and they just look out of place. It's all black toy. So here, opening them up, I've got a new sticker sheet. You know, a little card. So, yeah, everything's unused on this guy. The stickers. The only stickers I'm tempted to apply will be the ones that go on the robot's, the small robot's chest. I'm like unboxing him here on the show. And most of it's not in the original bags. They're in Ziploc bags. There's a toy that didn't come in. So, I mean, it's been opened. It's been, at the very least, displayed. But everything's still nice and mint. I'm tempted to put the stickers on that go on the chest of the small robot, just because it's the window stickers and the stripes.
It looks like he has nipples, screw nipples.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I'm kind of don't want to put those chest stickers on is because they're supposed to be like the truck windows, you know, fake. But the truck has red windows, and the stickers are blue because they're the regular Power Master Prime stickers. So, you know, I don't know if Repro Labels has ever made a set for this toy that's in different colors as a variant. I'll have to check that out. I don't think they have. But I would love to get, you know, I may put the chest sticker, the stripes on, but I'm not sure because I have an unused sticker sheet here. It's completely unused, so I don't know if I want
to. Well, I mean, are you ever going to display it in that mode?
Probably not. But, so, I mean, I may take it out and mess with it every now and then because I just like it.
If I'm just going to display it in a totally different mode, and I wouldn't apply the stickers.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It'll end up in the super convoy mode, you know, like Power Master Prime, fully trailered up and everything. That's how this.
When was the Nucleon Quest convoy released? Was it like 2004, something like that?
I was thinking it's like earlier than that. The box
2001,
here.
2001, wasn't it?
But I don't know if that's when it was released or just the last trademark or what. But that sounds about right. I know it's early, very early 2000.
Yeah.
So, I know it's pretty rare to try to find one right now.
I'm just sitting here unboxing him, and I'm going to put him together while we podcast. Yeah. That's really the only things I've got that I got in the last 2 weeks since last time I was on.
Well, I'll wrap up our Ouch My Wallet, and then we'll go on into our discussion topic of the night. Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. And also CapturedPrey.com is furnishing us with the Justice Iron Paw from Keith's Fantasy Club. Again, it is a giveaway that we are giving whenever we reach our 100th subscriber on YouTube. We will give away to one random subscriber from our first 100 subscribers this third-party steel jaw, and it is really awesome. Its approximate value is $25 to $30, and it is absolutely free to one subscriber from within our first 100 subscribers to YouTube. The rules and the requirements of the contest are on tftalk.net. So if you're kind of wondering about that, check out tftalk.net. So let's go on to our discussion topic of the night, which is repaints, remolds, and reuses. A lot of Transformers, since the very beginning in Generation 1, have seen different uses and different colors throughout the years. And I think some of the most memorable ones are the Generation 1 Seeker Jets, the Generation 1 Nissan Brothers, and among others. And sometimes it's not just a simple redeco. It's a slight remold. You know, it might have a different head. It might have, you know, different weapons. You know, different fenders, different windshields, a spoiler, no spoiler, what have you.
And, light bar, no light bar.
Yeah. And other times, toys have been completely repurposed into a totally different character by just a different paint scheme. And for a good example of that is Machine Wars Starscream was just repainted into King Atlas in the Transformers Universe line, which is, I think, an homage to Die Atlas from the Japanese G1 series. You know, remolds have and redecos have that's a nice little comparison there. And that's a good example right there. You know, this is example of a redeco. You have the Gaijin Rai on your left right there, and then the Nucleon Quest Convoy on the right. It's essentially the same character, however...
Same toy.
Same toy, just different colors. And it makes it into a slightly different character, a different version.
Something I found fascinating, the reason why I suggested this topic for the week, is, you know, I think back to as a kid, I never gave any thought to the repaints because they were different characters. And I just kind of thought, just as an overlay of what I've witnessed in my years as a collector, is we had the repaints in G1, like I said, were different characters out at the same time. I mean, Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp were all available at the same time. And I don't remember as a kid anybody complaining about repaints. And then, you know, you had the G2 came along repainting the G1 molds, but at this point, they've been out of circulation so many years, people were just glad to have another chance to get them, even though the colors were a little funky. You know, that was their only real complaint, was that they weren't the original colors, or else they would have been reissues. And then you fast forward, and I think repaints started taking a new turn and getting a new perception around RID. Because then they had the toys, but then they repainted them and called them super modes. Like, even Galvatron was just a powered-up Megatron, and it was the same.
Well, that started with Beast Wars 2nd.
Oh, they do a lot of repaints in Beast Wars 2nd?
Mm-hmm. Flash Lyle you had Convoy. Flash Lyle Convoy.
Okay.
Burning Convoy, basically Transformers going Super Saiyan.
Now, I thought like with Flash Lyle Convoy in Beast Wars 2nd, I thought that was kind of like the Fire Guts Gaijin Rai, where it was like for one scene he was powering up, but he didn't stay those colors. Because I think that's where the fire guts came from, is like Gaijin Rai.
More or less. It was,
for a second.
It was him
fire
and...
Fire guts was, yeah, there was just that one episode that he even did the fire guts thing, and that's where that whole thing comes from and why you get God Bomber with it, because if you didn't have God Bomber with that Jinrai, it wouldn't even pull off the mode correctly. So that's why it comes with the God Bomber.
Yeah, I believe, because I saw the Beast Wars second movie, which is where Flash Leo Convoy and Burning Convoy made their appearance, and it was pretty much they charged up from one attack where they changed colors.
Okay. But
it was at least a few minutes of screen time where they were those colors.
Okay, so it wasn't just like a brief second, it was actually a few minutes. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't familiar with the Beast Wars series. But they didn't release a toy that, but like special limited edition. RID gave us the full release where they released the guys in new colors. But even then, it was only like the Autobot Brothers and Galvatron. It really wasn't that bad. It was only four toys. I don't think that was all that badly received. It wasn't until Armada... then I think the perception of repaints are changing, because then Hasbro did something I don't think they've ever done before, where pretty much every toy in the line got released as a repaint. And it was all just a powered-up form of the same guys. And this is the point when that's the collectors and everybody started to really groan. And even though they really didn't give much of a thought to repaints before, they just kind of happened, new characters, powered-up version, whatever. It was sporadic. It wasn't until Armada came that it was like the whole line got repainted. And then by the time it happened again in Energon, the fandom as a whole started really getting to the point where they were noticing repaints. And, I don't think anybody even talked about repaints. I don't even think the term repaint was in our lexicon before that. or at least not as widely used, because we didn't notice it. And Hasbro just kind of wore us out on the repaint. Now, they gave the reason that it has to happen is to, the money that goes into the development of the toys, well, they could sell it in a new color. They could sell, supposedly, twice as many. And make back more of their engineering money. The problem
and
with that
it happened in the shows too. I mean,
yeah, when it was in the show to sell the toys. I mean, yeah. That's not fool ourselves. It's only
right,
in the show to sell the toys.
You also have all the universe ones that came out too, where they had the Bruticus that was wasn't Bruticus, but was Ruination. They released
G2 for Redux.
It was basically a G2 Redux is what it was, and then they released it in camo, released it in the Tiger Stripe. There's like three or four different versions of just that particular toy alone, and then they released they released Scourge, which was the G2 Prime with the bladder cell with the launch missile.
Yeah, the Hero Prime.
Yeah, the Hero Prime. I couldn't remember that.
And then the Hero Megatron.
Right.
Those were KB exclusives. But the Universe line was all repaints. Especially, they even told us going in, hey, it's a line we're going to release repaints. There were a couple of okay toys, and there's a lot of Beast Wars toys.
It's pretty much Beast Wars Generation 2. I mean, here's a prime example. First wave of the Universe line, and you got purple, lime green and red Silverbolt.
I love that color deco on that.
And he was actually billed as being Beast Wars Silverbolt. You got a black and purple Tigerhawk, and
But so anyway, the idea was the fans were getting sick of repaint at this point because they were getting so many, and so the perception went from being okay with it to the point of not even noticing it to being sick of it. In just like a line or two, because Hasbro changed their policy. They said it was to make back money on the molding and in the development, but yet they didn't do it really much before that. I mean, very few toys got repainted to death like that. Of course, they did it again in Cybertron. I don't think it was as bad. But then now I think I see a shift, I think, back to the end where people would groan, oh, repaint. And now people actually look forward to them. Because what they started doing is it started with the Sideswipe Sunstreaker, where Hasbro started saying, well, hey, if we're going to do... Because, BotCon would be repaints, but with new heads, and people loved them. But they would groan about a repaint on the shelf. So Hasbro figured out that by changing the head and making it a new character, instead of just a powered-up version of the old character, fans are more accepting of it. So they decide to start developing these things with an alternate head or possibly even more alternate parts. So instead of just as a repaint, they could put the other parts on and make it more different, and we call the remolds. And now they've gotten us to look where we are now. When Springer came out, you know, instead of everybody bemoaning, oh, I hope they don't repaint this into somebody, now everybody's like, oh, who are they going to repaint this into? You know, and well, what's the head going to look like? And then we got Sandstorm, and everybody loves both toys. So just by going a little further than repainting with new parts, the perception has changed. And I just always thought it was fascinating to see how the fandom went from not really noticing repaints to hating repaints to looking forward to repaints. It's just, it's been a wild journey to see how fans have gone through that. And but I just kind of thought it would be a good discussion topic tonight to see. And, you know, and our listeners, too, you know, comment in the YouTube video in the comment section what your thoughts are. But, you know, just... It's interesting the way people have changed. I'm just wondering, what do you guys remember? Do you guys remember going through that cycle? Did you, were you sick of them, then you loved them, or did you always hate them? Or
I, myself, I've always thought of them as, like, you know, with, because I collect G1 and G2, I tend to like the repaints. I've always never really had a problem with it. I mean, it's like, yeah, Seekers is the same thing. The Fairly Aziz are the same thing. But, I mean... I don't have a Nucleon like you got. I don't have a Fire Guts. I want to get both of those. Those things are awesome. And the thing is, it's like, they take, like, such a cool toy now. Like you were saying with, like, Springer. What they do, they just they engineered a chassis. And they built this chassis. And it's like, okay, we got this. What parts can we add to make this a different robot? Just complete different character. And that's exactly what they're doing now. They're basically designing a chassis and then just changing a few things to make it work. And well, I think it's phenomenal.
Well, but I think more, when you went through the phase where it was all power-ups, it wasn't much thought. It was, okay, just design the toys, change the colors for a power-up.
Yeah, unless it was an homage, like, you know, Hotshot got away with it a couple of times because he was repainted into a very Hot Rod.
Yes.
You know, color scheme. But then the other ones were like, you know, who needed a American flag demolisher?
Hmm.
Well, yeah. Something I think that really plays into it, what makes us accept it more, is when it's a new character. Because like I said, in G1, it was never just a power-up. It was new characters. You know, and I think people are a lot more receptive now because it'll be new characters. Now, like, Nucleon is awesome.
Here's a good example right here. I don't have the RTS Jazz mold, but it was really nicely redecoed into the United Stepper in Japan. I mean, that deco is just absolutely gorgeous. And essentially, there are no changes whatsoever to the Jazz mold itself, the Reveal the Shield Jazz mold, with the exception of the addition of the Target Master that was included with Cyclonus. And then you have a slight remold of the GDO Wheelie, which, yes, I know.
I regret not getting that figure.
I know he looks kind of wonkily transformed here, but I kind of do this to kind of make him look like a little boy transformer. So he's noticeably smaller and shorter than the actual Jazz. But as you can see, you know, two different heads and the weapon. This is a totally unique weapon to this toy. And that is just so awesome. And the deco works. You know, it's not only is it a completely different color scheme, but, you know, with the new head, new weapon, it makes it worthwhile getting. And, you know, along with the United Jazz, or I'm sorry, United Stepper, this is more than just a Jazz toy with a fancy gun. I mean, it is a totally different character. It is not Jazz anymore.
Right, and I think that's the key that Hasbro figured out, is we'll be more receptive if they make it a new character instead of a power-up. Because that's what that, if you look at that trend, that's what happened. When we were okay with it, it was new characters. We were sick of it when it was the same character. We were accepting
new characters. Even then, the bigger problem with our mod, because like you said, in RID, we accepted it. It's like Sideburn, Expiron, and Prowl became supercharged, and, you know, and Megatron became Galvatron, and we didn't really care because it was like, it wasn't a very widespread thing. But when Armada repainted every single character, it wasn't as special anymore. It was like, they're not powered up, it's just now the entire cast is different colors.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, take Machine Wars, for God's sake. Machine Wars was the only thing in Machine Wars that was not like a complete repaint of Generation 1 toys was just the flip jets.
Yeah, those were unused.
They were developed back in G2, but were never like released, and nobody really knew anything about those. And then they released them, and then later on they picked them up later during the Beast Wars 2 in Japan. They used some of those.
Well, now the G2 flip jets, like Space Case and
Hooligan. No. That's the wrong ones you're talking about. I'm talking about the ones that are all spring loaded.
Okay.
The ones for the Machine Wars line. The flip changers, yeah. Every one of those were never, those were specially developed, you know, for Machine Wars. But then you had
Optimus Prime,
that's Thunderclash, okay. You know. You had Starscream, which was Skyquake, which then was repainted into King Atlas.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, is an homage to Dialus.
Well, I think the thing to remember with Machine Wars was, even though it was an all repaints, it were all toys that were never released in the U.S. before. Because the bigger toys like Thunderclash, Skyquake, those were in U.K. only. Mm-hmm. And actually, then you had the unreleased G2 stuff that was designed but never released. So that was all new. New first use of the molds in the U.S. I love the direction they've gone, like you said, with Springer and Sandstorm. I don't think... Yeah, they designed a skeleton, but I think they start from the get-go, and I think it started with, like I said, Sideswipe and Sunstreaker. From the beginning, let's design two characters out of this. It doesn't start as one, and then they try to come up with a clever repaint, because I remember for a while they did that. Here's a toy, we want to repaint it, what can we repaint it into? And they try to come up with a character to kind of shoehorn it into, and sometimes
Crasher.
It works, sometimes it didn't.
Crasher.
But when they design the get-go of two characters, it works brilliantly.
Yeah, and then they even started designing the head sculpts at the same time.
Perfect example is of these guys right here. I mean, they're pretty much still on the shelves in a lot of places. You have the Trailbreaker or Trailcutter for Generations, and then the Hoist. They're essentially the exact same mold, but one comes with one kind of weapon, and another one comes with another kind of weapon,
and different heads.
You know, I mean, the heads are noticeably different. But
same
the thing
with Megatron
is,
and Dreadwing right now.
Yeah, I mean they are essentially, you know, it's just like the G1 toys. You know, in G1 they had essentially the same type of setup. They were the exact same mold, just slightly different weapons and a different head. And the thing is, it works. Whenever both of these toys came out, I was like, you know, I really don't know if I want to get both of them. But then I saw them, I'm like, hey, you know, it does fit that character, and I want it. You know, I'm actually excited about these recolors.
Well, it's kind of like the new Orion Pax mold that just came out. I mean, I've already seen somebody customize this thing and turn it into a cup. It's just a matter of time before Hasbro just wisens up to say, hey, that's a perfect cup mold.
I don't know if they'll do it, because we already have a good cup mold. I would see them repurposing it as something else. Yeah.
And make a good Crosshairs, except the colors would be too similar to what he already has.
That's very true. But, I mean, honestly, this would make a perfect cup mold if it was dead. It's perfect.
Hasbro is looking at the rest. They're looking back to Classics and Universe and the Generations line before it. And anything that's already been done, I don't see them doing it again. We ain't going to get a new full-fledged Optimus Prime, even though the Classics Prime has become sort of, you know, it's
old
a brick
passing,
compared to some of the new figures.
Not to mention Varro. We need a new Varro.
But yeah, they're not going to do it, because they consider all still the same line. And to release two cups in that line, they could repurpose it into a different character. Even though I think it would make a great cup, even though the cup we have is already really good.
Well, like that Target Master Cyclonus that you have there, Greg, wasn't in Generation 1, if my memory serves me correctly, weren't they a little harder to find, the redecos of slight retools of earlier G1 figures like Cup and Hot Rod, Scourge, Cyclonus.
I don't know if they made less of them, but I do know that they are definitely worth more money. I don't know if it's just because the Target Master accessory is harder to find. But yeah, I mean, you look at the price difference between a regular complete Scourge and then a complete Target Master Scourge, they definitely fetch more money. I don't know if it's because they made less or if it's just because of that weapon.
To my recollection, back in the 80s, you know, and granted, my recollection may be a little bit skewed because it was 30 years ago. But, you know, I don't recall seeing a whole lot of Scourge and Cyclonus and Hot Rod and Cup, you know, the Target Master versions. I mean, I did see them, but, you know, the emphasis in the case assortments, if I'm not mistaken, were the new characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they were the, I mean, As far as I remember just seeing like the normal ones. I rarely ever saw like the Target Master ones as often, because I think the Target Master ones was more or less a Japan gimmick. It wasn't really seen much in the cartoon, so why would they want to release it in the United States? Because it wouldn't make sense. But you know, I don't know. I guess maybe it was just maybe like the marketing, because it's kind of like the Headmasters. I mean, we didn't get some of the Headmasters they got over there.
Well, I think so. Part of it may have been the thought process, too, that they figure, you know, most kids that really like Hot Rod begged their parents for Hot Rod in 1986. So they're not going to, they figured they wouldn't sell as many Target Master Hot Rods because people aren't going to want two of the same toy. So they put
focus on
assortments were more focused on the new toys, whereas the remolds were kind of, you know, lesser quantity.
Mm-hmm. If somebody who is listening can confirm this information or corroborate it in some way with some documented, you know, like case assortments or, you know, accurate depictments of how these figures were, I guess, assorted back in the 80s, feel free to either mention it in our comments on the YouTube channel or tell us about it on our Facebook, you know, and continue this discussion, because, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, I remember the way it was back in the 80s and, you know, going down the toy aisle, because, you know, as a kid and a huge Transformer fan, especially around the 87, 88 time, you know, that was where I was absolutely feverish about my Transformers. I mean, because, you know, I was so excited about Headmasters and Target Masters and Power Masters. That was the best gimmick. I mean, it's totally new, totally fresh, and, you know, all new characters. You know, it wasn't Optimus Prime and Megatron anymore. It was, you know, Weird Wolf and Brainstorm and Chrome Dome and Fort Max. I mean, gosh, Fort Max, the size of that toy and Scorponok. I just
it was probably it. Bigger than I was at the time.
Yeah, and you know the gimmicks was I mean, it was still transforming, but the gimmicks, you know, aside from Headmasters and Power Masters, really weren't that intrusive. I mean, it kind of worked with the toy as part of the toy. Whereas, you know, like Mech Tech now the Automorph. You know, sometimes that can kind of detract from the toy because it just doesn't work right or what have you. You know, I'm not saying that Power Masters, I mean, sometimes Power Masters kind of detracted. If you lose that Power Master, you know, you literally have to use your finger to push in that button, so, or else you'll break the toy to transform it. But, you know, the case assortments back in the day were... to my recollection, you know, you had the emphasis on the new characters. And, you know, I lived in South Florida at the time, and, you know, I would go up and down the toy aisle, and, you know, I would see tons of, like, Misfires and Trigger Happies and Crosshairs and everything. But Target Master Scourge and Cyclonus, I remember the first time I saw them, I'm like, hey, they added a Target Master to this guy. What's different? How does he hold it? Oh, there's a new hole there. You know, and, you know, that's one way that they stretch the molds. You know, like for a Target Master, you know, basically, if I'm not mistaken, the Target Master itself was it not like a redeco of another Target Master from another character?
Not on the Scourge and Cyclonus, Cup of Horror, Blur. No, those were all unique molds.
They were all unique molds. Probably what they did is they probably gang molded those guys, those four Target Masters, mm-hmm. and then just made a very inexpensive slight remold by adding a 5mm peg hole. Well, in Target Master Hot Rod's case, they just enlarged the screw hole on the engine, didn't they?
I was thinking the hole was already 5mm.
No, it's not.
Because I have a hot rod that doesn't that did not come with the Target Master. I tried plugging it in there; it does not fit.
Okay, because I've got all of the
so it's been widened. So I could say maybe what they did is just redid the engine just to swap it out.
Yeah, I think they just widened that hole, made a new engine mold. And I do remember whenever the reissue hot rod come out, a lot of people were talking about, you know, is this the Target Master hot rod mold? Would he work with the Target Master? And a lot of people that had an original Target Master hot rod said, yes, you know, the Target Master does work on this. So it's not the original hot rod mold.
Okay. See, I didn't realize there was a difference. The reissue was the first hot rod I ever had. And
it's the first one I ever owned, but I had friends that had it whenever I was a kid. And I do remember that discussion back in the day whenever the reissue hot rod came out.
Well, I mean, think about this. You have Artfire and Stepper, never released in the United States. Those are completely, like, Japanese. And then they did, like, the reissue Stepper, but we've never seen a reissue Artfire ever. And the thing is, if you look at the G1,
Stepper.
Like, that Porsche, you look at the back, it's got a hole that's literally molded into the back of the tail fin portion.
He's got a hole right there. You know, it's got a hole. You know?
Yeah, it's got a hole. they literally had to remold something to allow that to happen for just the stepper mold. And for Artfire came with a special little clip that actually clipped into the ladder assembly. So that way it would actually hold the Target Master in vehicle form.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the arms or the fists itself. They were not spring-loaded on it because they, obviously, if you hit the thing, the fist would pop out with the Target Master in hand, and it wouldn't hold as well. So they nixed the spring-load gimmick, and it was a thicker peg that actually held them in. And I also do know that the hole that holds the Target Master in the fist is actually widened slightly, so that way it'll actually hold the Target Master.
Inferno has spring-loaded fists?
Yeah.
Yes.
The original.
It was really annoying back in the day, too. I had Grapple.
I loved it because it's freaking rocket punching. Sorry. I like rocket punching.
Well, I mean, that aspect of it was cool, but I hated it back in the day because I didn't have Inferno, but I had Grapple. And it's the same, again, a remold or a redeco and a slight remold.
Exactly.
Mine had a really finicky spring, so you put the fist in there and you could just, you know, be sitting there playing, you know, like hopping him along like he's walking, and just barely tapping him and everything, that spring would go off and there went that fist. I lost one of my fists.
That was
of that.
The first series of those that came out in the United States, and then they nixed the spring idea. Because you got to remember, they did some changes in some of the ones that were released here in the States during the 80s with the spring-loaded gimmicks by just pulling them out. Like, even Metroplex no longer had firing missiles, but he came with the missiles that you put in there, but they don't fire anymore. It's just, they did that. They completely, like, pulled certain things. And talking about a repaint is Metroplex and Metro Titan. Two complete different, like, color schemes. But, obviously, Metro Titan's Japanese. I've got one. It's freaking sexy. It's awesome. It's cool.
I would love to have that giant that's sitting behind you right now redecoed as Metro's Titan. That would be like,
I have seen many repaints of this guy to the point now that I want to puke because there's too many people that have customized this thing into everything it possibly can be. Hasbro, just do a Metro Titan and release it. Just do one.
I don't think Hasbro will re-release that mold.
Well,
I don't know, because those things aren't really shelf-forming from what I hear. From what I hear, people are picking those things up left and right. So I guess they can probably do something with it.
Artfire and Stepper conversation real quick, because Daron mentioned something interesting. He thought all those black and gray Target Masters, because they were very similar in color, may have been gang-molded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something interesting is they reissued Stepper, so we know they have the Jazz mold. They've reissued Inferno, so we know they have that mold, but they never reissued Arcfire. I think the reason is because Stepper used the Nightstick mold. Now, if those were all gang molded, if they were able to reissue Nightstick, they should have been able to reissue any of those. It's like we haven't gotten a reissue of the Blur, because we've never had a regular Blur either. So I have to kind of wonder if it's just the issue that they don't have those Target Master molds, at least not all of them, because why wouldn't they have reissued Artfire?
Because Blur's Target Master and Artfire's Target Master are the same one. They just reversed the colors.
No, it's actually Fracas's. Huh? He uses Scourge's Target Master as the one he came with Artfire. Yeah, Stepper came with Nightstick, and Artfire came with Fracas.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. I do know that, but I know that they reversed the colors on them, gray top, black pants, and black top and gray pants. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. They inverted the colors on them as well to make them different.
Yeah, but that's why I figured the only reason we didn't get Arcfire is because they don't have the Fracas mold anymore. Because we know they had Inferno, and that was the only thing different, but they never reissued it. So that kind of tells me maybe they're not gang molded. Plus, if you look at them all in hand, they're not the exact same shade of gray. Some are a little more muted gray, some are a little shinier, or at least the ones I have.
Right. I think there's just a different consistency in the type of plastic they were using at the time.
Oh, well, it was a theory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we don't know, because, Artfire is this little clip thing that plugs into the ladder. So, I mean, that could have been gang molded with the mold that's mysteriously disappeared, so that could have been all one mold.
True, they may have the Fracas mold, but don't have that clip.
True, or maybe it was molded together and they don't have any of it anymore. But we don't know, because mysteriously, you got these high-quality KOs that show up because people buy the old molds when they got thrown out, so that's how we get all these crazy reissues and KOs like we do nowadays. Well, that or somebody smart enough to be able to reverse engineer, which I know.
I love how they take, old molds or the G1. Here's a perfect example is Acid Storm. They take an old character design, the Seekers, and change them and create a totally new character. Acid Storm is a retcon character. His character was never actually mentioned by name in the original cartoons, but we did see a green Seeker jet a few times. Whether it be
Sunstorm.
Well, I was getting to that, but somebody has to be rude and interrupt. But
I was coughing. What are you talking about?
Yes, but I was getting ready to say that. We saw a green Seeker jet. We saw the orange one or yellow one, which eventually was retconned as Sunstorm, which I kind of like his deco that we've seen. The Dreamsicle orange and white. It just really works on that mold. And now there's another one. What was the BotCon Seeker, the blue one? What was it called?
What the heck did they call him?
The third Rainmaker.
Yeah.
I know there's one called Bitstream, but I don't know which color.
I think that's
it. Might have been his name.
Turquoise one too.
Maybe that's what it was. But, at any rate, they're taking the old molds and, and taking these essentially animation errors the animators back in the day just took these characters and they're background characters. It doesn't matter what color they are. Just make that one purple and make that one pink.
That's some recolors I would love to buy. I'm surprised they haven't released. I mean, we got the Sunstorm, reissue. Mm-hmm. I want to see some more G1 reissues of that Seeker mold in those other colors. Give us the three Rainmakers in the color they were on screen, solid yellow, solid blue, solid green. And then give us the generic purple Seeker that was in most of the More Than Meets the Eye episodes in the background. I would buy those repaints. Easy money.
Well, and the thing is that, those molds, it's like the Starscream mold. We call it the Starscream mold because he's the most prominent Seeker jet, and I'm not counting the Dirge Thrust and Ramjet colors or remolds, but you know, with you know, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp, now Sunstorm. You know, you've gotten four different characters out of the exact same mold, and you know, there's no mold changes whatsoever, just the colors and the stickers. You know, stickers are relatively inexpensive compared to remolding. So, you know, you put a different sticker set on it, put a different color set on it, you know, color palette, and you've got a totally new character. And that, you know, instead of like what they were doing, in, as Greg was talking about earlier in the show, back in the Armada and the Cybertron and Energon days, you know, whenever basically you took Hotshot and gave him a different color scheme and it was Hotshot powered up, you know, it would have been a whole lot better and a lot more appealing, in my opinion, to children if, you know, you had Hotshot and then you had this different colored one, and this guy was Hot Rod, a totally different guy. It was not Hotshot, you know, on steroids or anything. You know, you
see them both on screen at the same time.
See them both on screen at the same time. It would give a reason for the children to actually want both of those toys other than, oh, he's just a powered up version of him. You know, I wonder how many kids actually sat there and thought, you know, I really don't want this toy that much because he's, you know, it's just a powered up
version. None of them. I was a kid at the time, and I wanted all of them. So, yes, it didn't matter to me as a kid.
See, as collectors, we were sick of buying the same character again.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, to kids, it really doesn't matter because you can, like, release something in, like, a stark black and then turn back around and release it in some crazy green or something like that, and kids' eyeballs pop out of their head when they see something that's, like, crazy
color.
He was
red, you know, Hotshot turned red in the show, and so I wanted red Hotshot.
Well, there's another time that they've repainted characters in left on the same character, and starting in 2007, I think pretty much everybody in that line got repainted with the movie. Because the line sold for better than you end up getting the premium repaints. How many different variations of Bumblebee we got? The same mold, it's still primarily yellow and black, but they just kind of mix up the deco a little, you know, change the stripes. And I think that's when people started bemoaning repaints again. Because it wasn't a new character, it was just Bumblebee again. Now, I can see the advantage is for kids who missed out on the toy the first time and they still want a Bumblebee. Okay, well, now they can actually have Bumblebee instead of Cliffjumper or whoever they would repaint it into. But I think they've gone overboard with that too. That's why so many people bemoan it, because how many freaking Bumblebees do we need? Because I mean, honestly, if Bumblebee's selling that well, like the concept Camaro and the 07 movie line, couldn't find it anywhere, just release more of it in the original deco. You just kind of reissue it in a later way, but you don't need to redeco it and call it Bumblebee.
Well, in the 2007 movie, they were still in that Unicron trilogy. Repaint it 100 times to try to make your money back, because it was, if you remember, it was the Universe line, or I think it was the Universe line and the Revenge of the Fallen line was where they started making alternate heads. No, it was the Generations line. Universe.
That was Universe, because Sideswap and Sunstreaker were the first ones I can think of.
I think they were part of Generations, weren't they?
No, they were Universe, 2008.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure. So it was during Revenge of the Fallen in the Universe line where they really started deciding that they needed to, you know, change the way they did repaints because it was really starting to fatigue on everyone.
Yeah.
That's very true. I mean, it's like, you know, when Hasbro decided to release this, the Bruticus mold, the Bruticus mold that they released was, like, in crazy colors. There's a reason for that, because they're trying to appeal to children. You know, I mean, there's a reason why the retail exclusive looked like a bag of Skittles, because they want this to appeal to children. Now, in order to go in more to the adult collector, that's why they went back and redecorated the entire thing to look like the video game model, and then bring in Grimlock with it and make it an exclusive two-pack. And that's honestly, I think that's marketing genius if you think about it, because if you're going to sell a toy, you're not going to just say, oh, this is Bumblebee, you know? And then, you know, lo and behold, they turn back around and they had this mold for, like, I don't know how long for the RID version. And when they did the RID version, it's in even crazier colors. And even brighter than the other one. So to me, it's like, you know, if you're going to market something, you're going to market it the correct way. And this is a great way of doing it, because when they released their RID mold, the RID mold came with mech-tech weapons that do not they do lock out, and they also do not have springs. There's only one spring-loaded gimmick, and that's for, like, the buzzsaw thing to come out, but it retracts back in, and it doesn't deter from the gun. And it's a great idea to give them a different kind of weapon. And the great thing is this comes with all the weapons that the Bruticus came with. So you technically are getting doubled-up weapons on the Ruination. And what's awesome about it is they gave us new characters. They gave us a new setup, new head sculpts, changed the color a little bit, and it makes it to the point that people want to buy it. And like for your collector's market, well, when they just released all of those, they released the G2 version, which the G2 version is every bit as awesome. This right here, straight up, if you were a collector in the 90s, you love Transformers, you buy this because, hey,
he was also, when he came out, he was the most in-game accurate version. Because you get the if you pre-order it, you got the G2, you know, skin for him.
I remember that.
So at the time, he was the most game accurate.
Yeah, the thing is whenever he was first announced, I'm like, I'll try and pick that up and everything. And then whenever the G2 Bruticus was announced, I'm like, oh my god, I have to have that. You know, that's
well,
the one
it was
I want,
especially
you know?
Because of the box.
Yeah, and the box made it too. The fact that they actually went back and got the G2 artist that did the original G2 box art to come back and do that box for Fall of Cybertron G2 Bruticus was amazing. I love that.
And the greatest thing about all these is if you collect every one of them, you can swap every arm and everything around. I mean, you've got so many options here. And this is what Combiner's supposed to be about. This is what Scramble City is. And why I'm like, Hasbro, please do not be stupid and decide to just completely nix the idea of building Combiners. Give us a Defensor. Give us a Minasaur. You guys could, they could easily somehow build the Constructicons out of something like this too. I don't see why they can't go down the road of giving us more Combiners if you're going to make them lighter, easier to put together, engineer all the Combiner limb bits with inside the robot itself, so that way you don't have extra feet and stuff you have to plug on. This is an excellent idea. They need to keep going down this road, because this is doing repaints right, this is doing remolds right, and this is an excellent way to market stuff to make it so people want to buy it. I mean, collectors like me are going to love them. Kids are going to love them because there's play value. That's the biggest thing about toys.
I still want to see the repainted
has play value.
Yes.
Huh? I still want to see Bruticus repainted as Computron. Especially if you use some of the Wrecker molds with the additional weapons, you know, those drills on the top of the tank that make a really good nose cone.
The funny thing is everybody like whines and whinges about these drills. These drills can actually plug in between the two front fork parts of the tank. You can fit it in there. It will work. I've done it before. It looks great. So you do have a twin twist with two little drills sticking out. I mean, I got the original twin twist right here. Well, this one's worn out, but
yeah.
I mean, come on. What more do you want? I mean, and this thing arrived from Diaclone, by the way. This was a Diaclone toy. This was not, you know, Takara or Hasbro. This was Diaclone well before. So there's a lot of toys out there. A lot of people are not really aware of where it came from, and that's exactly where it came from. It came from a recolor from some toy from the 70s, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, Constructicons too.
Yeah, I've got those as well. I actually have the Diaclone Devastator. I'm not going to go pull it off my shelf because it's buried behind stuff, and it's very expensive. But there's so many toys like that.
I think I saw a 70s on one of my Transformers friends posted a video he found of like a 70s Korean show with a flying Inferno.
I've seen that. I can't remember the name of it, but I'm aware of it. I think the disc was at Walmart for a while, like the cheap bin for like $1 or $2.
Wow.
And the funny thing is about that Inferno mode, I mean, that Inferno mode is part of like an entire line that come out that didn't really have any real show value.
Was that Microman or?
There were Diaclone. Basically, the Diaclone stuff well before that was almost like Super Sentai stuff. You had this gigantic, like one of the biggest things, and it's one of the holy grails I don't have yet, is the Great Robot Base. It's this gigantic robot that basically its legs flail out. When you fold its legs out, it collapses down, turns into like a big tank thing. The thing has a working elevator. It's got metal bits all over it, so that way you can take your Diaclone figures and put them on there, because it's got magnetized everything. It's got firing fists. It's got like all different kinds of things, like little shoots here and there. It's loaded with gimmicks, and it's a play value and a play set. That to me is a play set. If you got things that can move, like elevators and stuff, like Fortress Maximus and stuff, but this is like deeper than Fortress Maximus, because they had the Great Robot Base, and then later on they came out with Fortress X, which was insane, because this thing had like little drill or little tanks that go into its feet and they fire out, and it had these little capsules you put the Diaclone driver in, and the capsules would go up and you'd be able to move them to whatever chute you wanted to, and you can like literally slide the little capsule down the arm of the gigantic robot into these firing like jets that are on his arm. So I mean, a lot of this arrived from that kind of thing, and to me it's like Hasbro could go so much further with this stuff if they actually dip back into the older stuff and research it and bring us back, you know, more combiners. The whole thing with like the little bitty the little figures coming out with all the movieverse stuff. Bring some of that back. You bring some of that back, it brings in play value, but make the guys smaller.
Doesn't even have to be a character that is an homage to an original G1 character. As much as a G1 fan as I am, and this may be heresy to some people that are that consider themselves hardcore G1ers, but you know, I wouldn't mind if they come out with new Transformers that are completely new characters, totally new new designs. But they are totally based on ideas that are old, like the Power Masters and Headmasters and
things, Action Masters,
Glacial Boss.
The things, yeah, I mean, the Glacial Bot idea. I mean, that just takes an idea that was, you know, that's old and reapplies it to something new. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, they have to be bricks either. I mean, you know, you can have a fully posable figure, but, you know, as much as I want an official update to the G1 Headmaster Weirdwolf, I mean, the Fans Project one is you know, the Quad U is amazing. And I'm glad that it's out. And as much as I would want a Hasbro update to that figure, I would love to see them, you know, make new Headmasters. You know,
I mean, right now with them going back and, you know, and doing these little bitty Target Masters we got going on, and this whole new wave of Target Masters that's coming out, and all of these are like homages to all G1 stuff. They get done with the Target Masters, dip into some type of Power Master gimmick or a Headmaster gimmick. Mm-hmm. Either one, or hell, do both at the same time. Yeah. Or maybe even a Brain Master gimmick.
Well, so, I know in the past, Aaron Archer had made the comment when he was, you know, running the Transformers brand, that he didn't like the Headmaster gimmick because if a kid lost the head, the toy was useless. So a couple of times we did have Headmasters, it was the Energon Omega Supreme had that little false head that would pop up. Then you had Armada Sideways, which also had his own head that would pop up. But other than that, they stayed away from the Headmaster gimmick for that reason. So normally I would say that'll never happen. But we have a whole new crew running things at Hasbro now. Because all those guys are no longer there, you know, Aaron Archer and all the ones that worked under him. It's a whole new, who knows what the new guy's stance is. Maybe they will do Headmasters. We'll have to wait and see.
I still think they won't. Because like you said, and I totally agree with their opinion on it, is if you lose the head, you don't have a head for your Transformer anymore.
Well, don't lose your head.
Well, hang on. You're telling the kid not to lose something, and that's like telling them not to
I was a kid. I didn't lose mine.
Well, I mean, they can engineer it. So, you know, you got like the head that flips back. Well, why not have a standard robot head that flips up out of the robot, and then you flip it back, and then you plug in a Power Master head, and it's a completely different head sculpt. So that way it's got a different head sculpt, so it doesn't have the same head sculpt.
It can
get away with that.
The power-up gimmick, you know, or something other. Right. It's like, you know, you have the red head, or regular head, and then, you know, that head flips down, and then you have the headmaster port, put the new headmaster on, and he becomes like a, you know, super head.
Or, and they give him some crazy, like, flaming sword or an axe or, like, a flail or some type of crazy weapon or something. And so that way when he does power mode, you put that in there.
You can have multi-packs of different heads that you can put on different characters. You know, I mean, they essentially kind of like the Mini-Con idea, but more involved. And also pulling in the original ideas from the original toy lines.
Well, that's where I think they went with like these little Target Master guys. I think that's why they think it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Because Target Masters, the reason why I prefer those over Headmasters is for that reason that you get two robots instead of one. See, to me, the Headmaster, I never liked the idea of the Nebulons because then, like, okay, he's his own dude, but then the Transformer himself has no head. And if you do the Japanese take where the little guy is the head, it's just one guy. Target Masters, you get the Transformer, and then you get his little partner guy. And for a play value point for the kids, if they lose the gun, they lose the little robot, well, the rest of their Transformer is still functional. You know, they still have, you know, like Target Master Hot Rod, for example. Okay, you lose Firebolt, well, you still have a perfectly functional Hot Rod toy. But where, like, if you have Weird Wolf and you lose Monzo, now you've got a headless robot while you can play with it. So I that's why I prefer the Target Master gimmick. And I kind of like the idea of taking past characters. Like, okay, do an update of Weird Wolf. But instead of being a headmaster, make Monzo a Target Master so that he turns into his gun or sword or whatever kind of weapon. It doesn't have to be guns. It can be any kind of weapon. Have him turn from a sword to a robot, and that's Monzo.
Well, I think one of the ideas that they had right during on Power Core, where they had the little bitty guy that turned into a gun, where you can face him and turn him into some kind of armor.
See, that's why I love those guys.
Excellent idea. Yeah, and there's a lot... And, yeah, granted, everybody complains about the power core because, you know, the spring-loaded gimmick because of the vehicles and stuff. Well, if you collected enough of them, like, I'll come out on a limb here. I have all the American releases to them, every single one of them. I love all of them. And the great thing is you can mix and match every one of them and make some of the coolest-looking robots. That's the whole point of it. That was the whole gimmick of it. It was like when everybody collected all their Scramble City back in the day. That's the point of it. You collect them all so that way you can build crazy-looking things. That's why. And I like that idea that, oh, you have the one that, you know, you say you lose the little power core guy that plugs into them. What doesn't hinder the toy. It does do something else. Well, I was saying with the Headmaster gimmick, okay, you have the little headmaster that plugs on, but you essentially have a head that pops up for it. And don't make that head, you know, that much less. Do a head sculpt for it, and then do a head sculpt for the other thing, and maybe, I don't know, make them so that way they almost are like drone, like, head sculpts or something, and then when you put on the target or the headmaster, it gives it more of a dynamic kind of look. So that just kind of changes it a little.
That could work in the fiction, like all the robots be drones, kind of like the Viacons in Prime were all, you know, had the same exact heads. Or a better example would be like in the first movie video game where you had all the drones that you just kept shooting, like the forklift nose at the same like camera lens head. Well, they all have like the same head.
Crimson Dynamo.
Robots all the same head.
Well, that's essentially
plug on.
Well, that's essentially what Power Masters was. Some of the people who don't really know this, that's what Power Masters was. Power Masters were essentially drone robots that were controlled by humans in a mechanical type of suit.
But they weren't headmasters.
No, they weren't headmasters.
It's a headmaster gimmick. Basically, do the Power Master concept, but they turn into heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make the head the character, and then the body just, it's sort of super mode.
Yep.
Kind of would bring a whole new meaning to the line that Sam said in the movie, bought a car, turned to be an alien robot, who knew? You know, it's like he buys a car, it turns a robot, and he controls it. He turns into the head.
Yeah.
Well,
And that's something I've been kind of wondering if they're going to do that with the new Movieverse stuff, because some of the leaked stuff of all the humans that have got, like, new technology or something like that. Like, yes, yes, please give us, like, Power Master, Headmaster, Brainmaster kind of gimmick or something.
I disagree.
But don't let it... Don't let it hinder the way
Michael
the robot
Bay will
works,
screw that so. Up so bad. You know.
I always hated the idea. I always hated the idea of that the headmasters and the target masters and all them were. Well, maybe not the target masters. The target masters can be off to the side. It makes sense for them being their own individual being. But the headmaster being someone else other than the person that it's turning into the head for. Is extremely off-putting for me. You know, I was a kid that was into Transformers and not Power Rangers.
Yeah,
I liked Power Rangers for a time, but I much more liked my robots being their own person and not being controlled by people.
Right, but that's the thing though. Some people like me, I tend to collect not just that. I collect Voltron.
Well,
I like Shogun. I like, you know, a lot of the other stuff that most people don't. And the thing is, getting into more of the other type of, like, dynamic, you know, type of transforming robots and such, there are so many different kinds of ways they can approach this. And like I was saying, you know, maybe the drone-based robot, and then the head you pop on gives them more of a dynamic thing.
Well, that's
yeah,
what I like.
You could call the drone something. Give it, like, a name. And then give the little guy a name. So
or have
there
it,
is some
or have it like the rebirth in Generation 1. You know, you have the robot and the humanoid that are symbiotic. You know, they're both
mm-hmm.
there. Both consciousnesses are there. The robot is generally in charge of the robot's body, but the human can come in and help. You know, help out the robot in you know in thought and.
The concept I don't like.
See, I like the Japanese take on the headmasters where the head was the transformer and he just had the power up body that he built.
Yeah, like Star Saber. I much prefer
which,
that.
By the way, Star Saber won the masterpiece vote. We knew this was going to happen, but it is
I
official.
Heard about that.
There is going to be a masterpiece Star Saber. So.
I would have much rather
and I cannot wait. I yes. will buy that because yes. it's freaking Star Saber.
I'd rather have a reissue Star Saber, but I'll probably pick it up too.
I mean, it's a Brain Master masterpiece. Yes. Give me, please. Give me.
I'm indifferent. I don't know the character enough. You know, Star Saber, you know, my exposure to Star Saber is, you know, in the Energon and Cybertron line.
Mm. Yeah, you need to go back and watch a little Victory, dude. You would absolutely fall in love with him because he's a very awesome guy. Because, I mean, it's just cool that you got this little bitty robot that combines with this larger robot, and then this larger robot folds up and goes into this bigger robot. And then that combines with Victory Leo, which makes even a bigger robot. I mean, I love that. It's just, yes, please, more.
Star Saber was the Brain Master equivalent of Fort Max. You know, Fort Max is the double headmaster. He's like the double brain master.
Mm-hmm.
He folds up to the chest and goes in for the smaller jet, and then it goes into the bigger jet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's cool, but I've
got him. I love him.
I've watched a little bit of Victory, and I'm, you know, the character does something for me. I just, you know, it's Japanese G1, and it's something I'll probably tackle after I finish US G1. I'll start looking for that stuff. So that's why I'd like to have a reissue just to be a cheaper way to pick him up, because I don't know if I like him enough to pay $300-$400 for a complete vintage. Although I did pick up a vintage one missing only the sword, but it's not in the best condition for only $150. Only missing the sword, but I mean even that I felt like was top end what I'd pay for that toy.
I've actually seen people. There's actually somebody I've seen on eBay that actually does he basically does custom swords for it.
And
basically,
swords,
it's a reproduction sword, and it will fit just fine. And he can do it in silver, clear, or whatever you want, whatever color you want it to be in, which is cool because
yeah, I've seen those. They're like $16. I just haven't bit the bullet yet.
And honestly, to be honest, even if you had like the original sword, there's no mark identification markings on the original swords anyway, so you wouldn't really know the difference. But the thing is, it's like, look, if you're trying to complete that thing, are you going to try to find this blade that's probably going to run you at least $50-$60.
I'm probably going to get the Repro Sword eventually.
But it's like the same thing with my Galvatron. I don't have the orange barrel that goes to them, and it's so hard to find one that's not cracked or messed up, and I know somebody that on there does that. I might pick one up for like $12 just to finish my G1 Galvatron, because that's all he needs. He just needs the orange barrel. I've got the gun. I got the whole thing that plugs on the arm. He works. Everything's great about him, but I just missed that thing. It's just, when it comes to, like, well, yeah, like, if you're talking about, like, repaints, well, then they had that E-Hobby repaint of him in his G1, or the movie colors, which is cool.
Well, actually, people get that backwards. It was the regular reissue that was purple in the regular colors. E-Hobby did the some manga repaint, which was the G1 toy colors, but with little stickers for lightning bolts to put on his head. Mm-hmm. That was the E-Hobby. E-Hobby was actually the G1 toy colors. Regular reissue was the movie colors.
Okay.
Everybody always gets that backwards, though.
I wasn't really sure, because I don't know, was it Encore, or who was it that made that one?
Well, it wasn't Encore yet. They were just doing I think it was around the time they were doing the book style, but Galvatron wouldn't fit in a book, so he was just like a regular reissue. It was before Encore started.
Yeah, I've been debating on getting that one. If I do, I'll probably just keep it in box. But it's an awesome toy.
It's a
toy.
Gorgeous reissue.
It's a great reissue, great repaint. And it's just, that's awesome that they went to that extent to just change the color. That'd be cool if they did that with Cyclonus, you know.
I would like
to see Cyclonus in that crazy, like, purplish color like that, too. It'd be kind of neat.
Let's go around now, and I think it'd be a good idea to ask everybody, what's your favorite repaint? As far as the repaint that you think was executed the best in all the history of Transformers, what is your favorite repaint? And I guess I'll go give you guys some time to think, since we just talked about it. For me, it's that purple Galvatron. I mean, obvious reasons, insane Galvatron. I love it. You know, didn't like the fact that the original toy wasn't in the right color, so when that thing came out, I was like doing cartwheels all the way to my computer, ordering it, ship it now, and then doing cartwheels and backflips until it showed up at the door, and then I was, you know, fangasming all over the place, because, yeah, I was really excited about the purple Galvatron. And there are other top contenders like New Beyond Quest, Convoy here, love him. I was kind of flashing around while somebody was talking.
Anybody could go on all day about their favorite repaint. I mean,
Pepsi Prime.
Yeah.
It's a good one. But yeah, Galvatron's my favorite.
What about you, Plasticone? What's your favorite?
I would say the Metro Titan and Metroplex. It's just because they're on opposite sides of the scope. You have an Autobot and you have a Decepticon. That was great that they just completely recolored it just for MicroMaster, so that way we got this big bad city versus, you know, just having Trypticon, you know, for the Decepticons. At least they have another city in their midst. But I would have, well, I guess they kind of recolored Grandis when they did the Brave Dag base.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to see Grandis in like some Decepticon colors. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool. What about you, Sideburn?
It looks like he's looking around his room trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I thought I smelled wires burning.
I was going to say, you know, I'm looking at my R&D shelf. Because
Scourge? That's a good one.
I was about to say Scourge because, you know, he just, you know, he created an entire character.
And he owned that mold. He looked way better than G2 later.
Yeah. But you know what? When it comes to repaints, Skybite is an amazing repaint.
Yeah. It's from Cybershark.
I don't know if anyone's owned the Cybershark mold, but it's green and gray, and that's about it. And Skybite has so many painted details that
and chrome
Cybershark didn't have. It's just so much. You know, R.I.D. was just sort of like the height of Transformers quality. It's sort of, you know, so many. You look at the toys and there's so many paint decos on them, and especially with Skybite, he's just, you know, he's just decked out in paint, and it's a really, really good mold. I also liked the character, as goofy as he was.
I think my favorite repaint, and this is probably gonna surprise some people, but I think my favorite repaint is Generation 1 Skywarp. from Starscream and I guess Starscream. But yeah, I love the black color scheme with the lavender purple. It just really works on that character, and it just makes him look a lot more dark and ominous. Personally, I would find, if I was to see Starscream and Skywarp standing next to each other in real life, yeah, I could understand. I mean, I would still be terrified, but honestly, just visually, I would be more terrified of Skywarp because he's the darker, more brooding looking character, and then you got Starscream in these brighter red and white colors, red and gray colors. But then also, like Greg kind of stole my thunder there with my second favorite repaint is definitely R.I.D. Scourge. That is just an absolute gorgeous. I mean, it does own that mold, as he said. You know, with G2 Laser Prime was awesome and beautiful, but then you got the black and the teal and I think even on the Japanese version there was the chrome trailer on the US version too. It's just gorgeous. I mean, wow, just wow.
Yeah, that was a good repaint. If it wasn't for the fact that I'm such a Galvatron junkie, that would have been my choice for best repaint because it far surpassed the original. But I think that's a lot of people's opinion though. I pulled up the images of a comparison pic of Skybot and Cybershark. There's this Cybershark talking about it. So if you want to click my image there to put it up for everybody to see. For the
listeners, everybody can see it right now pretty well.
Okay. But yeah, there they are. You can see Skybot does have a lot more color, a lot more paint apps.
And if you can see the shark bits, there's even more paint apps on those sides.
I'm trying to find a comparison.
Because he had a lot of... The Transmal 2 Cybershark mold had a lot of like open patches where some cybernetics came through, and a lot of it was unpainted on Cybershark, but on Skybite, every single detail, you can see it right there, every single detail has silver paint on it and makes it pop out. It's just
right in here,
an immaculate paint job on that guy.
That is,
it is a bigger. I mean, even just the paint, just the way this blue and the silver kind of flows and blends, you know, it almost looks like he was done with an airbrush, or this guy is just straight up plastic color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, any of you guys have any closing thoughts on the subject of repaints, remolds, and reuses before we wrap up?
Collect them all.
Yeah, it's again, it just goes back to gotta catch them all. And
the Armada.
Yeah, it almost goes back to the gotta catch them all. And, you know, basically it's just Hasbro and Takara trying to squeeze out new colors. Their most out of a single mold. And
get more money out of it.
Yeah, get more money out of it, and it's really understandable from a business perspective.
Well, and in Japan, it's quite a normal.
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, you watch several different animes, and you'll see people power up and look different.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like what they did with Fortress Maximus. I mean, they released this big gigantic robot, and then they turn it back around and release Grand Max, and just give us like a pretender shell with that one. And then they kind of nix almost everything and then release it in RID as Brave Max and completely change the color scheme. And I swear to God, he should have a G2 Autobot logo like slap right on him because he's so cool. But I mean, it's that's using a remold and a recolor the right way and just slightly changing the name enough to want other people to buy it because it makes it a complete different robot.
It does.
Well, for me, my personal policy on repaints I have found is there's only two ways I'll buy them. If I really like the character that it's repainted into, is if it's a new character, like in Generation 1, of course, I'm trying to complete the line, but, you know, Skywarp, Thundercracker, Starscream, I'll get them all. Or if I just really like the mold, like the Bruticus, the new one, the Generations. I have like three or four versions of that now, and I'm really seriously debating picking up that... That was the Platinum Edition with the Grimlock, just so I can have the Game Maker colors. Just just Night because Gamer, I love that mold. It's a lot more fun than I expected. I like just fiddling with it, messing with it. But, you know, I won't buy a repaint just for the sake of having the toy. It's just, it's got to be a mold I love. Like the RD Car Brothers, I didn't mind picking those up again because I love those molds. I like the car modes. They with the rubber tires and the chrome, they just have a more real car feel to them.
They really pop. Yeah.
It's always been my policy is I only buy a repaint if I really like it, if I really like the repaint, or if I really like the character that it's supposed to represent. Just because if I bought every repaint, I would bankrupt myself. As you know, I, especially with the Universe line right now, or the Generations line, I can't get them all. So I got to pick the characters I like. But at least we've come out of the rut. You know, I think it's been a few years since I've really heard anyone just complain and moan about a repaint. So I mean, at least we're out of that rut, and Hasbro's been doing us right.
Well, I think it's like you said, they've been designing them to be new characters from the get-go, and even remolding them, and that's why people stop complaining.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple. Just change the head, give it a cool weapon. There you go. And it's great marketing.
In a few instances, change almost every piece.
Well, just form a chassis that you can obviously just swap bits out on, and it works, and it's the perfect thing to do. So,
keep doing that. Springer Sandstorm, where there's so many parts that are different, is I'm wondering just how much they could change that up. So, if the club were going to repaint that as something, you know, have like half the parts from Springer, half the parts from Sandstorm, you know, not just one head or the other, but also like mix up the parts. I wonder if that's something they can do.
I don't see how. I mean, a lot of the retooling goes into the propeller section, where instead it turns into the VTOL wings, and then his legs. And Springer's legs have the back wheels, or the front wheels, I can't remember.
Right. Well, they could do, let's say for example, do Springer, you know, have it be primarily Springer, where it has the helicopter propellers and the legs with the wheels, but then have the chest section and front end of the car section be from Sandstorm.
Yeah, that would work. You couldn't have it have Springer's legs and Sandstorm's VTOL wings.
You have too many wheels.
Yeah, but you could probably mix it up like that and have the more like Mad Max looking.
Oh no! Here's what you do: you use the Springer top, so he has the propeller for the helicopter, but then give him Sandstorm's legs, so he has no back wheels, so he's not going to have enough wheels to properly get around, and it could be Chip Chase.
Oh my god, you're freaking hilarious. That's funny.
With that, I think we do need to wrap up, though. I do want to remind people that we are running the KFC Iron Paw, Justice Iron Paw giveaway. You can win this particular toy if you're watching on YouTube by subscribing to our YouTube channel, joining our Facebook group, and posting on our Facebook group, and linking back to us either on by mentioning us on Twitter. Or also, and this is mostly important, is by linking back to us on message board forums and your signature. More information can be found on tftalk.net. Just look for TFYLP 100th YouTube subscriber giveaway, and the information will be found right there. Plasticon, thank you, and Sideburn, and St. Galvatron, and Mariah Baby. She had to leave earlier for some family matters, but thank you guys, and thank you listeners for listening. I know we had had a great time tonight. I had some issues with my comments. I know some people commented, but they really weren't popping up in live real time for me. I think it has a lot to do with the crappy way YouTube does the comments now, but thank you guys, and we will see you next time on TFYLP. It might be a little bit later in the week, and also the downloadable version of this podcast, I will try and get it out first thing in the morning, but I can't guarantee that because I've got some doctor's appointments the next couple days, and then Friday I actually go under the knife to work on my elbow. So, yeah, I've got some medical things going on this week, and it might be a little bit difficult, so please bear with me on the downloadable version. So if you're listening to the downloadable version of this late, that is why. We will probably be broadcasting around Thursday or Friday again next week, which would be our most normal time. Thanks again. And guys, see you next week on TFYLP.
Have a good week.
See you guys later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.